designer Maria Pinto, active trans executive director Ron Burke, and legendary comedian Andrew Dice Clay. Now here's your host, a man who didn't know what a limerick was until the Dice Man taught him, Justin Kaufman.
Once was a man from Nantucket, right? Dice being any sort of teacher is probably a bad idea.
Yikes.
I wasn't much of a Dice fan as a kid. You know, because when I was a kid and he was on Top of the World, it was really hard to get at his stuff because it was all censored. So me being 12 years old or whatever I was, you really didn't get to him. My sort of exposure to Andrew Dice Clay was the movie Ford Fairlane. And if you have not seen that movie, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's so fun. It's so film noir. And Gilbert Gottfried's in it. And, of course, Andrew Dice Clay. So that'll naturally, I got to talk about Fairlane later. Welcome to Download, everybody. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN Radio. With you till 11 o'clock. We've got an unbelievable show for you tonight. Woo! Talk about an eclectic jam. Chicago Bike Week, kick us off. This is the 25th anniversary, the 25th annual Chicago Bike Week. We'll talk with Ron Burke from the Active Transportation Alliance about what's changed, the sort of changes in not just the infrastructure, but the attitudes about riding your bike in the city. Also talk about some big advancements in the western suburbs in Aurora about protected bike lanes and much, much more around Bike Week and commute, the Commuter Challenge, which will end up at Daily Plaza on Friday. Lots to talk about in the world of biking that's coming up. Also, this is the last week for Chicago Public School kids and being in school. If you're in the suburbs right now, you're already in the third week of camp. But you know what? We thought it'd be a great time to bring Future Hits back. Matt Barron will be here, play your homework on the guitar. Been doing it all year, and we figured this would be the last installment of the 2015-2016 school year. Give Matt the summer off. He'll be back in the fall. But tonight, he sings our homework. My guest at the big table, Maria Pinto, world-renowned fashion designer. She hails here from Palatine, and she has dressed some of the most unbelievable pop stars and dignitaries, including the First Lady Michelle Obama. We'll talk with Maria Pinto about her career. Also, coming up at 9 o'clock, Andrew Dice Clay. He's playing at the Copernicus Center coming up on Friday night. Can't wait to talk with Dice Man about his career and his resurgence, thanks to the Showtime show, Dice. Also, flamenco guitar tonight. I'm very excited about this. It'd be great to have flamenco guitarists in studio. Ensemble Español celebrating their 40th anniversary. They got the big show, Flamenco Passion, which is up at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. We'll talk with them. And also The Worst tonight. Almost forgot about The Worst. How is that possible? You know what's the worst? People who double park on the street. Like just decide it's a two lane street. I'm gonna stop my car right here and I'm gonna put my hazards on, but I'm gonna block traffic. If you got to double park in front of a hydrant, or go to the tow zone and put the hazards on, right?
Yeah.
The idea of just stopping the car, that's the worst.
Yep.
I had someone do that the other day, and I'm like, what are you doing?
They're not fitting in with society. They do that.
Do you not have any respect for the rules?
Mm-hmm.
Amy Sumter and Claire Zulke will be my guests tonight. So great show tonight. News, weather, and traffic with Rob Martier and Esmeralda Leon. Production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this here is The Download, a show about Chicago starring those who know it well. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. It's Carry Out. Stay with us. All right, let's get the show on the road here. It's Download here on 720 WGN. Let's start with the Carry Out, of course. This is our nightly segment where I read the newspaper, so you at home, you don't have to. Here are today's top stories. Well, he did it. President Obama said radical Islam today at a press conference, and now we wait. The president suggested that blaming Islam and not ISIS for this attack is playing right into the terrorists' hands. Now more comes out about the killer who allegedly frequented the gay club that he attacked and was allegedly on a gay dating app. If that's true, what again does radical Islam have to do with any of this? And more importantly,
Is anyone going to walk back their knee-jerk opinions from the last 3 days? Trump? A new poll says that Hillary Clinton has a 12-point lead over Donald Trump, so happy birthday. Will gun control get on the agenda for Congress this summer? Well, North Shore Republican Bob Dole, no relationship to Bob Dole, is breaking ranks with his Republican Party pushing for legislation. So we'll see what that means in the long run. It was also reported today that Russian government hackers attacked the DNC to get opposition research on Donald Trump. You really need to hack a political party for that? Just read the Washington Post. Up top. Trump banned the paper from covering his campaign because he says they are inaccurate and they say too many mean things about me. If that's the baseline for what gets banned in Trump America, it's going to suck when we can't watch, listen to, or read anything. We'll just watch Miss America pageants on a loop. Locally, the newspapers have dug deep on former police superintendent Gary McCarthy's emails, and I guess McCarthy forwarded his termination letter to his wife with the message he didn't have the balls to sign it himself. The he is Mayor Emanuel. Although that line is so much better when you read it like Gary McCarthy. He didn't have the balls to sign it himself. He didn't have the balls to sign it himself. He didn't sign balls to sign it himself. Now imagine him saying that while he's lifting big weights. He didn't have the balls to sign it himself. He didn't have the balls to sign it himself. 18 lions have been rounded up and put on trial in India because I guess one of them is attacking people. Lion number 4, step forward. Listen, we know you did it, okay? Your buddy ratted you out. Just sign this paper right here that says you did it, and we won't hit you again with the cattle prod. It's simple. When hearing of this news, the dentist from Minnesota told his hygienist, hold my calls, I got to get to India right now. They need me. The World Health Organization says that the Zika virus isn't enough of a threat to postpone or move the 2016 Olympics from Rio, which really means nobody wants it. I mean, economic albatross or deadly virus? You know what? There's a good chance I won't get bitten by a mosquito. Kanye West announced his St. Pablo tour with 2 stops in Chicago this fall. Kanye, of course, will want us to sell out that show and also bow to his genius before committing to that second show. So if you're listening right now, Kanye, we love you. We love you so, so much. Please, please be a genius for us. In weather, all right, pause this weather right here. This is perfect. A perfect combination of sun and wind. In sports, the Sox showed some grit last night with an extra innings win against the Tigers, erasing a 7-run deficit. Could this be a turnaround game? Keep it up, y'all. The Northsiders had the misfortune of running into Max Scherzer last night, who shut down the Cubs' bats. Some are suggesting that this trip to D.C. against the Nationals is the Cubs' first true test because of the pitching matchups. Tonight, they get Gio Gonzalez. Meh. Big deal. John Lackey hits the mound for the Cubs. The Bears' minicamp is underway, and Alshon Jeffrey's in the house. So much wasted keystrokes on that non-existent drama. Also, wide receiver Marquise Wilson left camp for undisclosed reasons. Wilson could be on the bubble with all the receivers in the mix this year and Kevin White being healthy. And a big win last night for LeBron as he pushed a game 6 in Cleveland. Bron responded to the crybaby claims with 41 points and 16 boards last night. Monster! Still, Warriors will probably win in Cleveland just like they did last year. And finally, Larry David announced today that he's going to do another season of his hit TV show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I guess his latest show, Playing Bernie Sanders, must have been canceled. Well, that's the carryout for June 14, 2016. Hey, do you like Parmesan cheese in those little packets? Oh, you do? Great, because I'm going to give you like 30 of them, okay? Coming up, the 25th Chicago Bike Week. Talk about the strides made in bike safety and bike travel here in the area. Also, we'll get a little bit of homework sung to us. It's the download here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about Chicago Bike Week. Rob Martier, how are you, my man?
Oh, man, I am so good. It should be criminal. No, I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
I'm good. I need a programming note. I'm not going to be here tomorrow night.
Uh-oh.
I know. I'm excited. I have a prior engagement. I'm going to see my son in a theater play.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know, but I remember when he was younger, you know, kindergarten, first play. If there's any play at that age, they do it at like 2:30, right. You know, or 10 a.m. But now he's getting older, so they're like, the show will be on at 6:30.
We pass out programs. You got to bring flowers. Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. I mean,
exactly. It's really funny though because I was running lines with him this morning before I went to school, and he just huffs at me. So he's got the fun. I'll tell you guys about it. He's got the funniest part. He's a mobster, and his line where he's like, "I guess you're right. I guess I have to change my ways," and like some you know change up kind of thing. And I'm like, "You need to really like think that through. You really need to like, you know, your life is changing." I'm giving him a bunch of backstory, and he's like,
"I guess you're right.
Yeah.
I guess I got to change my ways.
Thank you. See, Martyr's got it."
I got it.
Tomorrow, can you come over tomorrow, like 7 in the morning?
I'm going to do my 7:30 update like this and see how much I annoy people.
You really got to think about how this has changed your life. So anyway, so I will be with Mike Stevenson tomorrow. I love Mike.
Did he ever turn to you at any point in time as you're trying to give him advice? And did he say, "All right, Dad, what's my motivation?
I was hoping that was like a dream of mine. That he'd be like, "Dad, what do you do?" "Oh, well, thanks for asking, son." Instead, it's like... "You know, I have a," he told me this morning, "you know, I have a theater teacher."
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm not getting through.
And not that you want to get into it with your kid, but you should have said, "Do you know that your father's on a 50,000-watt radio station that stretches from here to China?"
You think I didn't say that?
I hope you did.
Like, "Listen, you know, I got to do a show tonight. I'll be home later. I mean, you know, I hope the people in Missouri like my show tonight." Ridiculous. This download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, we're going to talk with Ron Burke. He's the executive director of the Active Transportation Alliance. And after that, we're going to get some homework. The guys' future hits are here. Talk with them about their. We'll talk to them. I mean, it's kind of interesting because we've had them for. I think it's been essentially. I'm looking at the records. I think this is their fourth time. So it's almost like four quarters in a school year. So we had them on four times. So I'm excited to have them on tonight to wrap up the school year, whether or not your kid is still in school like mine, or if you're in any of the suburban areas, you're already in like the third month of your camp. It's like such a despair. And if you're like mine, your kid's pretty much just watching videos at this point. that's essentially what's happening. But we'll talk with future hits coming up. Also, Maria Pinto, which I'm excited about. We don't get enough fashion talk. I never get enough fashion talk here. Right? This is the last time we had a fashion conversation. Yeah. I would like to have more fashion conversations. Just because, you know what, today I picked up my dry cleaning. No big deal. I'll put the photo up on the live blog. WGN, got myself. I don't know if you noticed this, Pete, but I do have my blue blazer on. It's the blue blazer that was on the back of the door for the last 12 months because it was missing a button. And guess what? Justin did the responsible thing earlier this week, and he took it in, and my dry cleaner fixed the button, which was great. And that's a good thing. So I now have another option in my arsenal. How about that, Pete?
It's like a brand new set of clothes. I had the same. This shirt actually had in the pocket on my left breast. There was a hole in it, and I put things in my pocket, and things kept on falling out. For a year, I was like, "This is ridiculous. Why?"
You see litter behind you.
So finally, Molly, my wife, was saying, "Like, why don't you just take it to the dry cleaner?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I guess I could get it fixed." That. And of course I didn't. So she did, took it upon herself, you know, and, got it fixed, forgot about it, sitting in the closet for like three weeks maybe. And then
works. That shirt works.
I got that shirt. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I looked down. I was very excited about the work, but you know, it's liberally connected to this, jacket, unfortunately. So I feel like this button is just going to fall off again. But I have to say, having the blue blazer back in rotation, it's a big step for us. It's a big step. Going to look It'll look big. So that's my summer plans, to wear this blue blazer as many times as possible. I found out in my black blazer that I've got a hole in the sleeve, so I got to figure that out. If you live in the Chicago area, you need to know that we're currently celebrating the 25th annual Chicago Bike Week. Chicago Bike Week is the annual event that promotes bike safety and riding to work. That includes the Bike Commuter Challenge, which your office may be involved in. And on Friday morning, there's going to be a Bike to Work rally at Daly Plaza, 7 to 9 a.m. This is probably a good time as any to get an update on bike safety and commuter issues with our friends at the Active Transportation Alliance. Ron Burks, the executive director, and he joins me now. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Justin.
How's the week treating you so far? We're kind of smack dab in the middle, right?
Right, yeah, right in the middle of Bike Week. Started last Friday, wraps up this coming Friday with the big bike rally at Daly Plaza from 7 to 9 a.m.
So let's talk. I kind of mentioned it earlier that this is the 25th annual Chicago Bike Week. You know, you guys have been involved with it at Active Trans for a couple of years now, but talk about how this city has matured and evolved when it comes to biking here in this area.
Right, yeah. Well, we've actually been involved from the beginning, Justin. We actually did the very first bike rally 25 years ago.
And I didn't want to date you, Ron.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. We started Bike Commuter Challenge 25 years ago, where companies compete with each other, and that's ongoing right now, by the way, bikecommuterchallenge.org. It's really just takes a couple minutes to sign your company up. But yeah, so we've been, you know, we go back to the days when we were called the Chicagoland Bicycle Federation, and we changed the name a few years ago to reflect that we're now also working on walking and transit. But your question is how has cycling changed? And I guess the answer there is it's grown a lot, right? You know, we've seen roughly a threefold growth in cycling in just the last decade or so in the city of Chicago. And you see that especially, I think, in the downtown area, but really all over Chicago. The addition of advanced bike lanes, the Divvy Bike Share program have all helped facilitate that growth.
When you started back 25 years ago on the first Bike Week, I mean, what was the landscape like in Chicago? I mean, was there any sort of collaboration or sharing of streets with bikers?
You know, that's a good question. I always tell the story about how, you know, you go back 25 years ago, and if you were on a bike in the winter, people would stare at you like you were some kind of freak, right? Like, what are you doing? You know? And of course, today, even though a lot of people still won't bike in the winter, and that's okay, you know, there's a lot of people who do, right? And it's become commonplace. In fact, you see people on Divvy bikes in the winter. And I think that's just an indication of how far we've come. 25 years ago, really, there weren't many people biking for transportation. Sure, we still had kids biking, which is awesome. We had some recreational cyclists back then, which is still awesome. We're big supporters of that that group. But biking for transportation, you know, going to work, going to the train station, going to the grocery store was fairly uncommon, and we've seen a big change.
You know, this week alone, I was just reading on your website. I mean, it's not just the Chicago area. Obviously, Chicago gets a lot of the press when it comes to bike, protected bike lanes, bike safety improvements, things like that. But they're opening protected bike lanes in Aurora and some of the western suburbs. I mean, there really seems to be a push towards bike safety generally, regardless of what type of municipality you're in.
No, I think that's true. You mentioned Aurora. Evanston was one of the first suburbs in the country, actually, to have protected bike lanes. And when we say protected, we mean there's some kind of physical barrier between the bikes while they're moving and the cars on the opposite side. But, you know, really this, I think, reflects that we've gotten to the point now where we're trying to design our streets to really accommodate everyone, whether you're walking, biking, or driving a car. And we know that the average person isn't an overly confident cyclist. The average person is a little hesitant to ride in traffic. And so when you can create that physical separation between the person on a bike and the person in a car, it makes it a lot easier for folks to get out and ride. Trails, of course, are the ultimate expression of, you know, our ability to meet that need. But trails are not easy to build. They're awesome when you can do it, but you can't do it everywhere. So these on-street protected bike lanes are about as close as we can get to an on-street trail. And the city of Chicago and suburbs around the region are, to their credit, starting to build these out more so. And the next generation, we think, of these protected lanes is like what you see on Clybourne in Chicago, where there's actually a curb, a concrete curb,
right.
And instead of just the plastic posts separating the bikes and the cars.
Are you seeing, Ron, are you seeing from your vantage point at the Active Trans an improvement in the numbers when it comes to safety in this area based on what we've done with protected bike lanes in the last 5 years?
Yeah, that, I mean, what we've seen is that cycling, reported cycling crashes and cycling fatalities have stayed roughly even. You know, they're up and down a little bit from year to year, even as the number of people biking has increased dramatically, right? So in that respect, the rate, if you will, the crash rate for cycling is clearly going down. We think that's true. Now, at the same time, we're seeing more people walking getting hit and by cars, and that's troubling. So that's partly a reflection of just the fact that there's more cars on the road and more driving in general. So there's a lot of work still to be done, for sure. But we know that these, you know, what we call complete streets treatments, where you try to design the street to really accommodate everybody, and that includes people and cars, really make the streets safer for everyone.
Ron Burke is the executive director of the Active Transportation Alliance. To this week is the 25th annual Chicago Bike Week. There's a Bike to Work rally at Daly Plaza from 7 to 9 on Friday. We got to have you back this summer because I'd love to talk more about pedestrian issues. We always talk about bikes, but there's other stuff to talk about. But we'll leave it here tonight. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. Well, there's no doubt that your kids are having a grand old time this summer, but while they enjoy it, hopefully they can fend off the dreaded summer brain mush where they forget everything they learned over the past school year. Or if your child's still in Chicago Public Schools, well, they're probably done with schooling. They're just pretty much watching videos at this point. That's what they're doing. But here on the download, we have a solution. Enter Matt Barron. Barron's a teacher at Chicago Public Schools. He's also a musician here in town who uses that skill to form the band Future Hits. Future Hits is a music project for kids, families, and teachers. While teaching for Chicago Public Schools, Barron began writing songs with corresponding activities and differentiated assessments. So tonight, Matt and his partner, Emil Hospelhorn, are here for the final performance of the year. This is like our fourth show together. So we thought that it would be fitting to have them back one last time before they truly take on a summer break. Emma, Matt, good to see you guys. Thanks for being back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
All right, so you guys are going to, Future Hits going to be at the Family Fun Fest at Millennium Park on June 29th at 1 p.m. Matt, let me ask you this. I mean, summer brain mush, that's a thing, right?
Supposedly it's a thing, but I think it's with these with the kids' face glued to these screens, they're in a lot more brain mush mode than ever, not just in summer.
So brain mush is all.
Yeah, it's almost like year-round at this point.
That's good. All right. Okay. Well, at least that clears that up. All right. So what are we going to learn tonight? This is our, I kind of see this as our, like our fourth quarter. This is the end of the school year. We've had you guys on throughout the school year. What are the songs we're going to hear tonight?
Well, this is a perfect song for this time of year because going into summer, this song will get you a lot of mileage because it's not necessarily about a particular vowel sound. It's more about different career ideas. So it's something where parents can talk to their kids about different career ideas that they might have for themselves when they grow up, and also teaching them about how to be of service to family and friends. So this song will get you a little more mileage than just a random vowel sound.
All right, gather the kids around the radio. School's in session. Future Hits.
And Emma's going to sing lead on, she'll be a firefighter on her new album. She'll be singing lead on this song. So here she is on She'll Be a Firefighter.
A few days ago, while at home, I caught a clear idea in my mind, a small exciting thought. It happened instantly, I couldn't understand, though it was not a previous thought, it quickly did expand. The brainstorm kept on coming of all the things I do. As a firefighter, a picture my mind drew. My priorities would one day be not showing up to class. Instead, I'll drench big red fires so they extinguish really fast. Other fires will be minor, I won't have to worry. But when there's a hazard, I'll be efficient in a hurry. my priorities as a firefighter will be the lives of others. I'll have to care about each neighbor like a sister,
like a sister,
or a brother, or even a mother. My priorities as a firefighter will be the lives of others. I'll have to care about each neighbor like a sister,
like a sister,
or a brother, or even a mother.
There you go. There it is. That's a little homework, a little career idea homework there from Matt Barron and Emma Hospelhorn from the band Future Hits. They're going to be at the Family Fun Fest, Millennium Park, coming up on June 29th. It's at 1 o'clock. All right, so, you know, we don't have a lot of time, so we should probably do another song.
That sounds great.
To wrap up what has been a tremendous school year for us. I mean, this is kind of like the end of school for us because I was looking it up, and I'm like, I think our first one was in September. So this has kind of been something that Future Hits has done throughout the winter time we were here. So this is sort of the final song of the 2015-2016 school
You've
year.
Had us every quarter, just like report cards. So that's really a great segment schedule. And this next song is called Family Road Trips. It's from our first album, but we're actually coming out with a curriculum playbook, we're calling it. It's coming out in the fall for back to school. And this song will be is part of that book. It teaches about prefixes. Do you know what the prefix un means, U-N?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Okay.
And how about re, R-E?
Yes, I got re.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
So un means not and re means again.
Oh, okay.
So anytime you hear an un or a re prefix in family road trips, you can make a mental note like usual or give a little high five to your nearest family
un
member
re.
Or friend.
Yeah. There we un go. Family the prefix show to finish out the school year here on the download here is Future Hits.
In summer we go on road trips, each time to a different place. At first I'm always unhappy, there's too much stuff to carry. I'm unkind in all my ways, I'm unkind in all my ways. But when we start to move, it's a different story. My frown starts to undo, I untie my two shoes, undress my big sweater, get comfy in shorts and a tee. Dad retells a story, the same one every year. When we stop to refill, it's much easier to hear. He reopens the book, but I know he knows it by heart. I don't know how I can repay my parents for all they do. At first I'm always bored, I want a refund of time. Oh, but the memories are prime, all the memories are fine.
All right, there it is. That is the final song from Future Hits for the 2015-2016 school year. We're here on the download. We've been singing your homework. We've been doing the work for you, kids.
We hope everybody has a good road trip this summer.
Everyone has a good road. It was a good summer road trip song.
Boring at first, but it will be fun, and the memories will be great. And big thanks to you and Pete for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Really Matt, a lot of fun.
Matt Barron and Emma Hospelhorn, they are part of Future Hits, which they will be at Family Fun Fest at the at Millennium Park, which is on June 29th, 1 o'clock. Also, you guys are working on some stuff this summer, finishing up an album.
Up an album that'll come out in 2017, and this curriculum playbook that'll be out in the fall, so stay tuned.
All right, Matt, Emma, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, when you think of fashion, you don't automatically think Chicago. I mean, it's not usually mentioned alongside cities like New York or Paris or Milan, but that hasn't stopped Chicago native Maria Pinto from making an impact on the world of fashion and design. She's one of the most recognizable names working in women's clothing. She has set up a couple of different shops here in Chicago over the years and currently set up shop in Chicago's West Loop. The new boutique is called M2057 by Maria Pinto, which is named after her clothing line that she started with the help of Kickstarter. Pinto has been worn by several stars in Hollywood, but her biggest fan, and some would say model, is First Lady Michelle Obama. Pinto grew up in Chicago. She went to high school in Palatine. She went to college at the School of the Art Institute. In short, a true Chicago original. And she's my guest tonight at the big table. Maria Pinto, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. Let's talk about the new boutique, M2057. First, the name, 2057.
Okay, so M2057 came about because my objective with this collection is the idea of fashion meeting technology, and I wanted a number. And as it happened, I was sitting across from my mother 4 years ago, who at the time was 96, do the math. July 7th, right. She's turning 100.
Wow.
And so M2057 is the year I turn 100. So you don't have to guess my age. You know, it's all out on the table, which is not typical of fashion people. They tend to like to hide their age. But it was just a number.
All over Washington Street.
All over Washington Street. Yeah. But it was just about choosing a number. And then, you know, choosing names and numbers have to have some meaning.
I mean, I mentioned in the beginning, you've had boutiques here in Chicago before. I mean, you had one early in 2000, 2001, one again in 2010. Why get back into setting up shop here in Chicago?
I had one. It was on Jefferson, and we closed in 2010. So we launched this collection on e-commerce, and it was always in the back of my mind that people still like to touch and feel, at least for the first time. And I think having a physical presence, a space, continues to tell the story of the brand, the experience, what we want our clients to feel when they walk in the store. It's kind of as I like to tagline to the collection, is deconstructed couture. So, you know, we're in a very modern industrial neighborhood next door to great galleries. And, you know, from the moment you walk in the door, the music selected, the being offered a glass of champagne and just be able to relax and exhale. And so to me, it's part of the brand experience, as well as the fact that I think women will always want to try clothes on.
Well, I mean, it started the brand, the M2057 line started as a digital only. I mean, it started with Kickstarter. Talk about that. I mean, you use Kickstarter in such an interesting way. Most of the time I've heard of crowdsourcing happening is for a movie or maybe for a television show or whatever it might be. But for a fashion line, talk about why you use Kickstarter and the success you had.
So I was kind of hesitant when I first heard about it. And the more research I did, the more I really appreciated the concept, because what it allows you is the opportunity to, in 45 days, not only raise $274,000, which we broke the space records in the fashion space, but we had over 600 active customers around the world.
Wow.
If I went to an investor and I said, can I have $275,000? I wouldn't have had that. I had proof of concept. I had orders booked, and we were ready to roll. It was very new, so it was really challenging to pull it together. But, you know, it's a community effort.
Well, how hard was it without that touch and feel, without that for you as a designer to not have the customer be able to walk into what they can now, but before, like, creating a digital design shop?
You know, even with the digital concept, there was still a lot of touch points. So even when we did Kickstarter, part of the success of Kickstarter was that we created, through my network of friends and contacts, we went to New York, we went to, and in Chicago, we had countless events hosted for us, little introductory
little
parties.
Right. Yeah,
because
not
only did they not know the collection, but they didn't know what Kickstarter was. More and more people know what it is now, but when we launched, women would look at me like, where are you coming from? So, you know, we really broke through a lot. We had a lot of barriers to break down.
Obviously, the being able to get back into the store, you know, in the West Loop. Talk about what that means for you as a designer to essentially make that jump back from the Kickstarter stuff to a brick and mortar space, because that seems to have made this full circle, and it is a different experience than you've had in the past.
Yeah. So there's so many facets that I think are really important to the company. One, I think it gives us a sense of feeling grounded and feeling really part of the community. We have a physical space that people can really come to. And we still play in the digital space. So when you come to the shop, and we like to call it a studio, it's not a true retail experience in the sense that we know when we walk into any other boutique.
Yeah, how so?
When you come in, we have every style and every size so that you could try it on, but you don't leave with anything. You go to an iPad, you order it, and you receive it in 2 days. So our clients are really happy. At first, I was a little concerned, like, will women right. really get this idea?
I would think they'd be like, what do you mean? I want it right now.
I can't take it with me now. Yeah. Actually, a lot of them really like it because then they don't have to drag around bags, and it just shows up at the door really nicely packaged. And so it's working well.
Do you see that as a possible future trend for fashion?
Absolutely.
Where you think that it might be more about blending the digital opportunities that people know from shopping online and an experience and essentially changing the way that commerce is done in fashion?
Yeah, I really think so. And I mean, and the beauty of this business model, and I have to credit Andy Dunn from Bonobos. He started this mm-hmm. idea, and he stumbled on it. He thought he was going to be an e-commerce play only, and he saw evidence was his showroom in New York. Friends started coming in, and he really saw an uptick in his sales, so he realized, he calls his guide shops, same concept. And I think the blend is pretty critical. And what it allows us, though, is very small footprints because I don't have to have inventory in the store.
Right.
And so I can continue to deliver. My objective with M2057 is to deliver great value. Our dresses start at $275. My dresses in my Maria Pinto collection start at $1,000.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, we want to keep that value coming to the customer. So if we can open, and we plan to open stores over the next, you know, couple of years to keep our footprints very small, we can, you know, we can achieve a greater customer experience without forfeiting some of the overhead, you know, without suffering the consequences of overhead.
For you as a designer, and you mentioned your, you know, the Maria Pinto brand, and then there's the M2057 brand. Do you run the risk as a designer and a businesswoman to balance the brands that you've had and you've had success with and the new ones that are coming in that might be at different price points? Does that play a role in sort of making sure that everything is accounted for when it comes to the Maria Pinto brand?
Absolutely. And I think M2057 is very much in alignment with the values, the core values of Maria Pinto. And I think it's an evolution of an idea. I don't think M2057 would be what it is without my having done what I did before, because you know, these are things you learn from, right? So I'm taking everything I've learned about design and fit and fabric and construction and bringing it to a different place. And that's why we call it deconstructed couture, because the deconstruction comes from this idea. The fabrics are all machine washable. They're all cut edge.
Oh, that's
great. They're very deconstructed, but yet very kind of constructed. It's a kind of a contradiction in itself.
Maria, I'd still find a way to ruin it.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
Trust me.
There's something with me and nice fabrics that just doesn't work. Maria Pinto is the fashion designer, Chicago fashion designer, in studio with me. We're talking about her new line, M2057 by Maria Pinto, which is the store also on Washington Street in the West Loop. Let's take a quick break. I want to talk about growing up in fashion. You talked a little bit about, you know, learning from, you know, experience. And I want to get to what you've learned over the years when it comes to fabrics and cuts and all the stuff that I really don't understand. I can't wait. Maria Pinto in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, Maria Pinto, legendary Chicago fashion designer. So many stars in Hollywood have worn her stuff. Michelle Obama, a huge, huge supporter of Maria Pinto. Her shop in the West Loop, M2057 by Maria Pinto, is right there at Green in Washington. And it's part of a new digital facing brand for Maria Pinto, who's my guest tonight. Let's talk about you're from Chicago. You grew up in Chicago, but you moved out to Palatine, went to high school in Palatine. When did you start with an interest in fashion?
You know, I was probably 12 or 13, and I begged my mother to get me a sewing machine, And I started making clothes. It was always a blend between fashion and art. That's why I chose to go to the Art Institute, so I can continue to paint, which I still continue to do. But I knew since I was like 12, 13. Yeah.
And so you got the sewing machine. And what were the first things you were doing with the sewing machine?
Making myself clothes. And then my girlfriends would see them, and they're like, I want that. So, you know, the entrepreneur came out early. It's like, sure, you could have it, you know, and I started selling clothes to my girlfriends. And I just
What were the clothes like? I mean, what were you sewing? I mean, did you have a style at that point? Did you have sort of a brand at that point?
It always comes to this. I'm kidding. Well, you know, I when you're in fashion, you're always cutting edge, right? So do the math. I was in that weird little cycle where, you know, it was kind of Taxi Driver, Jodie Foster, short shorts. That was my go-to. And just really fun clothes, like, you know, things that I saw and I would copy. And my prom dress was a Halston dress, which was really outlier for all, compared to all my other girlfriends wearing, like, you know, poof. And I was wearing Halston. It started as a fun thing, and then I realized it was a passion.
When did you make that realization? When was it that you were like, this is fun, I like doing this, I like making my clothes, but you know what? I want to do this for a living.
I think I really always knew that, and I kind of, yeah, I think it was just really sort of innate. And I never thought twice about any other path, you know. In the next life, I'll probably come back as a psychotherapist, but for now, we'll stay with
fashion. Now you stay with fashion. They're similar, right?
Really, very similar, trust me.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier on just about the cuts and the fabrics and the garments involved in this. You know, when you went to the School of the Art Institute, and even after that, you know, continued your studies in New York, talk about the world that was offered to you when, as someone who was into fashion, making your own clothes and being an outlier in Palatine, when was it when you started to realize the different things that were available to you, the textures, the fabrics, the different things that are going to ultimately be the Maria Pinto brand?
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I think of things like this as like a gift. Like, you know, it's something you either have or you don't. And it's something you either you activate or don't, right? I think most of us are gifted with creativity. It's just always been the subconscious thing. And I always was curious. I was always reading magazines, looking at the history of fashion, just super curious, going to stores, looking at clothes that I, you know, couldn't even fathom owning, and just studying them inside out, you know.
So for a Luddite like me, what do you mean by studying the clothes? Like, what exactly does that mean?
It means like looking at a jacket and looking at the lapel, looking at the way a shoulder is set in, looking at how is the construction of a sleeve, looking at the lining, looking at just everything. And then, you know, salespeople would come in and look at me like, okay, can I help you? And I would always, you know, bow. And I tell my interns now, it's really okay. You should do this. This is a very important aspect of your studies. You just explain who you are. You're not going to, you know, steal. You're just there to study. And they really appreciate it. And then they welcome you back next time.
I mean, is there a point in your career where you realized, you know, after, you know, because you went to the School of the Art Institute and you continued your studies New York? It was New York.
Yeah.
What was the point where you're just like, you know what? I have a brand. I'm not going to work for other people. I'm not going to, you know, at one point I saw in your, I think it was your Wikipedia, said you were assistant to Jeffrey Bean. Like, what point were you like, you know what? My end game, my end goal is to be my own designer, not design for other people.
Yeah. On some level, I would say it was premature. But on the other side of it, you just do what you do, right?
How so? You mean premature in...
And having, like I tell, you know, when I meet with students that are getting out of school, I'm like, don't be so anxious because school is just the first phase of study. And so I interned at Jeffrey Bean. I had other job offers from other companies in New York, but I wanted to work for a master, even if I had to pick up pins. Hmm. So I interned for Jeffrey Bean and worked at night to support myself. And it was the best experience ever. And then it was about a year. I did work for over two collections there and all facets of the process. And then I decided to come back. But at that point, I was 33 because I went back to school when I was a little older. I went back to school at 30 to the Art Institute. And I just knew right away. And I was very lucky because what I launched with was accessories, like these extravagant wraps and scarves. And unbeknownst to me, this was a true Malcolm Gladwell tipping point. The Pashmina phase hit.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good. You're of the age. I say this to my interns, and they look at me like, Pashmina what?
What would that be? That would be...
1991.
I was going to say 90s. I would have gone a little later, but 1991,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pashminas are in,
and Maria decides to make scarves and wraps. And I was so lucky because one of the most formidable, amazing women in Chicago, Joan Weinstein, who owned Ultimo at the time, bought my collection immediately. And with that sort of, you know, blessing, so to speak, it opened up doors. I was in Barney's and Saks in Bergdorf the next season.
And for you, I mean, to go back to school, to be able to be in your, you know, early 30s and have this happen, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking about the idea of Maria Pinto being the brand? Or, I mean, are you just ecstatic that the big stores are taking your line?
You're just trying to stay alive. yeah, it's a combination of all of it. Like, you know, with the problem with fashion is that it's moved so fast. So, you know, you're like never in the moment. So, yeah, great. I have these orders in front of me. But at the same time, it's like, get that over with, because you've got to get on with the designing the next collection, reaching out to the next layer of clients. So it's just this layering and layering. It's a massive jigsaw puzzle.
So it's not just one. Hey, I'm in Barney's. Yay. Let's
yeah,
get the party going on.
No, no, they're always, yeah, that's over. Like the moment it happens.
Maria Pinto is my guest tonight here at the Big Table. She's a world-renowned fashion designer, lives here in Chicago. Her shop, M2057 by Maria Pinto, is on Washington Street in the West Loop. Let's take a quick break for the news. When we come back, let's talk about that fashion industry. I don't know much about it. I only know what I see more and more. I see on blogs or what I see on E! Feels like E! Is all fashion at this time. But mm-hmm. But I'd love to get your take a little bit on the industry and what's happening. When we return, stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the Big Table, Maria Pinto, world-renowned fashion designer here in Chicago. Her shop, M2057 by Maria Pinto, is in the West Loop right now. I said that before the news, that I really want to talk about the fashion industry. I don't know much about it. What I do know, and it's always been the case, but it seems maybe because there's just more activity, because the media has grown so much, that it has such pop culture crossover. Mm-hmm. That you're seeing the Kim Kardashians and the Kanye West and everybody in between getting into fashion, acting as if they're a fashion designer or a mogul. And, am I reading that right, that that's getting bigger than it was maybe 10, 20, 25 years ago?
Oh, no, you're understating it, if anything. It's so real, and I think it's kind of annoying. I mean, from the perspective of, you know, someone who really pride myself on my craft, right? Fashion is about, there's an artistry to it. There's an understanding of the making of clothing. And there's something so, it becomes so trivial when anyone could slap their name on a mm-hmm. collection. And because they're so notable and they have so much power behind them, you know, they could be a pretty big force in the retail space.
It obviously makes the job harder, but from an industry standpoint, does it, I mean, you have been on record before saying that it is a cutthroat business. Mm-hmm. Does it become harder for you to be able to have an impact when you're now not only competing with other great fashion designers, but competing with people who have a brand maybe outside of fashion, mm-hmm. music, television, film, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's certainly always competition, and what degree of it, I don't know. What the degree or of it is or isn't, I don't know. But I would say, you know, what I like to believe is true about M2057 is that we're very distinct. We've hit a mark that's not being addressed by a lot of other brands. There's pieces that you might find in other brands, but not as a whole. And a lot of this, you know, came, I was creative director at Marc Chale for a period of time after I closed in 2010. And I was on the other side of things. I was buying collections. And I had this, you know, view into the world of really being able to study what was in the marketplace, especially in this price range. And that's where I saw the void for this, like, clean kind of work we're doing. So I think as long as you're doing something unique, you hopefully find your space.
I mean, but that is, I mean, like I've said throughout this interview, you know, fashion's not necessarily my go-to. But I'm curious about, you know, what we see when we see in the New York Fashion Week and on what's on the runway. And then on the other side, you know, what people shop for at The Gap. Mm-hmm. You know, or even Old Navy to an extent. And what's the in-between? Because when I see the stuff on the runway, I'm like, are people actually wearing that? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So talk about the relationship between the fashion industry, the high fashion industry that we see in the glitz mm-hmm. and glamour, and people actually buying clothes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a part of runway that has become really about show. You know, it's always been a show, but the show before was really legitimately things that you were going to, in all likelihood, buy and wear. And I think more and more the spectacle has become more relevant. And there's always the collection that's in the showrooms, you know, from these same designers that is what actually ends up in the store and potentially on people's backs. And the fantasy ends up on the red carpet, or the fantasy ends up in, mm-hmm. you know, some on a celebrity's back because it's beautiful and it's, you know, interestingly done. But is how wearable is it, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I think there's a little free fall happening in terms of the whole fashion retail space. I think the internet has turned everything on its upside down.
Is that a good thing? I mean, is that a good thing for you? You've seen the fashion world change. I mean, and even your time at Mark Shale, and now you know the ins and outs. You must have seen how we talk about the music industry all the time. We talk about the film industry. And the fashion industry has to have changed over the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's changed dramatically. And I mean, I think we're all trying to stay ahead of the curve, right? Isn't that what it's about? Mm-hmm. I always compare it to like technology, right? I remember 1981, seeing someone coming into this restaurant with this massive cell phone, right? Like a brick. Now, look what we're carrying. So what's next? The chip under our skin. So in fashion, more than anything, anywhere, you need to be way ahead of the curve. So do I think it's an advantage? It's not whether it's an advantage. It's what we're living in. And so I need to be engaged and embraced in it and try to find that
intersection. Is it hard to adapt for you? I mean, No,
it's been pretty seamless, to be honest, in a really kind of a very exhilarating way. And I thank all my customers who are so loyal and have really appreciated where I'm at with this new collection.
Let's talk about where you're at. Being in Chicago as opposed to setting up shop in Manhattan or Miami Beach or, you know, or Paris in that regard. Talk about why you stay here in Chicago. It doesn't seem like the fashion industry is here.
No, it's not at all. I'm not really sure. I mean, I referenced Joan Weinstein earlier, and in an interview with Women's Wear Daily about me, she said Maria beats to her own drum. And in the same interview, I said Chicago was my incubator. I think there's pros and cons to working and staying in Chicago. And I'm glad I did, but there's always been moments where you kind of question it. In fact, even when I launched this new collection in 2013, someone said to me, if you move to New York, the fashion industry will really take you seriously. Well, that's all I needed. I mean, my rebellious side came out. I'm like, that's so ridiculous.
Right.
We live in this is a global community. And
I think you're doing okay. Right?
I think I'm doing just fine. And because of that, it was like, you know, for a second, I had thought about moving to New York at that time before this, you know, statement. And I was like, that's the whole reason not to.
Is that the prevailing feeling in the fashion industry, especially in this country, that if you're not in New York, you're not in fashion?
I think it's less so now. But I think the reality is there are certain, when I go to New York, I mean, there's so many things right at your fingertips. Like I'm going to New York next week for 2 days, right? I'm across the street from my factory. I go across the street to buy buttons. I go around the corner to some, you know, another vendor. You know, we don't have that here. And so I think there's some, you know, advantages to being in both cities. The advantage of being in New York is you're in this hub and there's this community that you're working with together.
And resources.
But for some of us, that might not be the best thing. And so for me, it's, you know, you find a different way to reach in. And I also feel like there's something energizing about coming back to Chicago. I need space. I don't need to be around so much. There's a certain kind of energy there that sometimes takes a toll.
And, I mean, the new line doesn't necessarily need a place.
No.
That's the beauty of fashion, as you mentioned. You know, for you, you've mentioned that you're a painter, you're an artist. Mm-hmm. Is there a point in your life where you think, okay, I've done fashion. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to move on to different pursuits. Or is fashion going to be with you till the day you die?
I have a feeling it'll be until the day I die. I mean, in some facet, it's so part of me. And I think it'll morph into something, you know, maybe I would be a consultant to the same company and have a great team that runs it. Or I think it'll always be part of me. But more importantly than the fashion piece is that there will be always a creative piece. So whatever that is.
So the creativity is what pushes you, not
Absolutely.
Necessarily
yeah.
fashion.
The business of fashion is great because it's the catalyst to my getting my designs out there, right?
Right.
But it's really about my designs. So I hope you'll stop by because they're pretty cool.
Oh, I walk by all the time. I will be honest. I'm too intimidated to walk
around. Oh, come on.
But
you better come in next time and say hello. I'll be insulted otherwise.
I have so many more questions, but we'll leave it there. The question's really about linen, Memorial Day, Labor Day, like a ton of stuff that I want to talk about. No. Well, Maria Pinto, world-renowned fashion designer, her shop, M2057 by Maria Pinto is in the West Loop. It's such a pleasure to have you here. And like I said, I am curious about fashion. I think a lot of people in Chicago are, and it's just really great to have someone of your caliber right down the street. So we appreciate you staying in Chicago, and congrats on all your success.
Thank you very much.
We've told you all week we're doing the Hometown Voices tour, right? You excited? I'm excited. You got to come out, right? People got to come out. You get a chance to meet Pete Zimmerman. In
Quite
person.
A thrill.
You got to wear the shirt with the hole in it. You know, you got to show them what the dry cleaner did to patch up the hole, right? It's a whole show and tell.
Well, going with my normal rotation, let's see, today's Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm probably back to this one on Friday, so it'll work out.
Are you a rotation guy? You got your favorites? You're kind of like it's playoff time for your shirts?
I guess I don't really have. I just have the regular four-man rotation.
I went to the Gap on, and Maria Pinto would love this. I should have told her this. I went to the Gap and I picked up two polos that I'm going to be sporting in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
Real. I'm not a big striped polo guy, you know, but a little flare. I'm going for a flare this summer.
Are they horizontal or vertical?
They are horizontal.
Nice.
It's minimal. I'm not a big fan of like the big stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, you know, again, we should have kept Maria for here. I'm not a big fan of the big stripes because it always makes me feel like I'm in fourth grade. You know, whenever you have the polos with like the big red, then a big blue, then big red and big blue, I'm always like, this is an adult shirt. This seems like it should be on a Charlie Brown, right? I don't like those.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Maybe I'll wear it to displays.
Yeah, break it out.
You know, I don't know if I want to break it. Because then that's the first people see you in public and they're like, this is what this guy wears to work? Wow, what a risk. And I don't know if Displanes is fashion forward.
I think they are.
Yeah. Maybe I like it's mostly white. That's another thing. I never do white because I will spill ketchup on it like that.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
That's
like tonight I had the beet salad from Sunrise Grill, who's going to be a taste of Displane. They brought us some food.
Yeah.
I would have destroyed my white shirt. I already have like beet kind of on my blazer, and I'm like, oh, that's all right. It's blue. It's fine. I can't see. I'm not built to be able to eat anything with anything that's stainable. Does not work for me. But I would like to be I think I would look good. I won't, but I think I would look good if like an all white polo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Wimbledon?
Yeah, exactly. Like a Pete Sampras.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I could rock a Pete Sampras.
Yeah, very nice.
What's your fashion choice? Maria Pinto was here in honor of her. What's your fashion? What's your go-to? What do you think you look best in?
I don't know. I don't really. A shirt and pants.
Are you a chino guy? No. You're a jeans guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've got a special outfit I've seen with the bow tie. You'll go to the bow tie. Like if tomorrow your wife was like, okay, we got this big event, this is really cool. Versace's going to be there. Donatella. what are you rocking out? What's your outfit you're taking out?
I would probably wear jeans and my nice pair of jeans, mm-hmm. not my work jeans. I have two pair, work and nice.
Right.
And I'd wear my nice Converse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd wear a button-down shirt from, like, J. Crew or something. And then I have a nice Crew sport coat.
You're a J. Crew guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm thinking about capris, you know, with suspenders, a fedora, a Billy Deck type look, like a combination, like almost like a Timberlake Deck kind of look. And then, I would go with, like, a... Maybe like a short sleeve, almost pink dress shirt.
That it,
right?
Oh man, I wish he was here.
Right, like some Converse All Star, low rise.
Yeah,
Converse
I got All-Star. To.
Yeah. Don't be so quick to walk away. Dance with me. That's what we should have done. We should have done a fashion show of you and me, and Maria Pinto gives an up and a down.
Oh, yeah.
Like a thumbs up, thumbs down. Because you always see that. Like there, whenever there's a fashion segment on TV, they're always like, hey, we've got the models here.
Yeah.
This is what she's wearing. Take a look. This is what she's wearing. This is great in the summer. It's breathable. But for you and me, we should have done it with you and me. Like how to be fashion forward at work when you only have two pairs of jeans.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to be judged by... someone of Maria Pinto's caliber.
Well, we should have her back. I think now that we've broken the ice and she knows that we're cool.
Yeah.
She can come back and we could play little fashion games. It could be like almost like the Olympics. Fashion games.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. That, okay.
For we'll the fall, for yeah. you know, for like fall, the September yeah. issue the of
September
the download.
September issue of the download, Maria Pinto. Mm-hmm. Pete Pete's thinking about getting one more pair of jeans. What kind? Have her dress you. That would be good. All right, we're going to Des Plaines for the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. Join me and Pete for a live broadcast of The Download this Friday, June 17th from 7 to 11 at the Taste of Des Plaines. We'll help kick off this year's event where you'll find live entertainment, food, beverages, activities for the whole family. Get a taste of Des Plaines, best restaurants too, from prime grass-fed prime beef burgers to homemade tacos and barbecue to the salads. Like I mentioned, Sunrise Grill, which will be there. They dropped off a beet salad. They dropped off a couple salads and also a flan.
Oh, that dessert looks amazing.
I let the flamenco guys have it.
Oh.
They're coming up next. I know. I hope they don't eat the whole thing, but...
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, well, they're you can hear them warming up. We Flamenco Passion coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. And they were early, so I'm like, do you want some flan? So it's new. It's good. Because you got to be careful here at WGN Radio. If you're at all in the area and you find yourself in the WGN Radio green room and there's free food up on the credenza, you have to be careful because you don't know when that free food was delivered. Mm-hmm. Most certainly, it was probably delivered in the morning. The morning show
mm-hmm.
with Mary and Steve Cochran and yeah. Andrea and Dave and everybody involved in that show. They're always having fun time and they're eating Italian beef for breakfast. And then I come in and I'll always catch the end of their show and they always give the credits at the end of the show and they'll say, oh, we had great Italian beef today from, you know, Tommy's Italian Beef or whatever. And then I come in around 5 o'clock, you know, or 4, and I'm like, oh, look at that Italian beef. Oh, yum, yum, yum. And I'm like, what am I doing? This has been sitting out here for like 11 hours.
Yeah, you got to target row, because at least that one usually doesn't arrive till around 4.
We walked in here today, and there was just like, oh, my God. There was so much beef. There was so much meat, because they did the Palina meat market guys, the meatheads, talking about how to grill and things, and there was just so much meat here.
And 8 different styles of coleslaw.
Yeah,
which I'm a huge fan of coleslaw. I'm a coleslaw connoisseur, and it looked delicious.
You are. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
I now know you have 2 pairs of jeans and coleslaw connoisseur. All right. So parking and admission is free. It's just step from the metro station too. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. I'm excited to do this. We've done, I mean, let's talk about our remotes here in the download. We've done the Antioch. We did the Hometown Voices Tour in Antioch. That was a great show. We did the Chicago Auto Show.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. We did P-Quads. We did P-Quads a couple times. So I feel like we've got the remote thing down. Mm-hmm. I always love to get out. I'd love to be in a position where we could do that weekly. I love it. I love getting out to different towns, and I think that what we're putting together for the show on Friday is going to be great. As I mentioned, I will not be here tomorrow night. Mike Steven is in for us, for me. Pete's still here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing tomorrow night? Do you know yet?
I'm not really sure. We had one of those busy days today where we've been here since like noon.
Yeah.
You know,
Mike's
going to work. So.
Mike's going to come in tomorrow and go, ooh, flan. He's going to eat, ooh, beet salad. Don't eat that.
So I'm sure, you know, Mike is a pro.
Oh, he's great.
Great. I love show Mike. Outside the loop, you know, so I'm sure there will be something worthwhile, something download worthy.
Well, I'm doing a, going to see my son's play. So that'll be fun, which I'm looking forward to. It's fun because it's second year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, the play was very long, and I had to jet early. I had to take off, like in the middle of it. It was like a 3-hour play for first graders. It's not what you want. And I had to come for work. And then I saw they had bumped the time back, so it was starting late, and I was like, I'm not going to make it at the beginning of the show. So I talked to Todd, and I talked to Stephanie about how to do this, and they said, just take the night off.
Yeah, can't miss something like that.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, I want to get out there and...
Is this something, do you videotape this kind of thing, or is it not allowed? Do they not like that? Do they tape it and then
they're
or anything?
Not that organized. I think we tape it, although, you know, like, first of all, I don't have the space on any of my devices,
mm-hmm.
like an iPad, to press record and hold it up and then be like, oh, I'm going to do this for an hour. Like, who does, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I taped an early, and every parent out there listening right now knows this, but with the iPad, I taped an early chorus, like a Christmas chorus when they were in kindergarten or something, and it filled up the iPad. And then for the longest time, I just hadn't transferred it to the computer, and... like I couldn't every time I'm like, oh, I'm gonna take a video real quick of this. Like, you have no storage.
Yeah.
And I'm like over these two videos and I'm like, oh, why don't I just delete these? And I can't. And it's also like it's like a kindergarten Christmas concert or something, and there's, you know, 150 kids up there and you don't even see your son up there and all you hear is, oh, a reindeer, and you're like, okay, I guess this is worth saving. It's like it's just one of those situations where you just wonder if it'd be better off not taping, just having it up in your noggin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go both ways because, you know, obviously being able to see it after the fact and stumble across it a couple of years later, you're like, this is great. What a great memory. And then I'm also like, yeah, but I also want to watch the play in its moment.
And then, I mean, if your son gets famous,
right,
they'd always go back to that one.
Oh,
like,
I thought,
remember,
yeah.
Like, you know, like they showed on the Tonys, they showed Josh Groban, you know, when he was in high school doing Fiddler on the Roof, you know, that.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, I could sell it.
Oh.
That's what I was, right away, I was like, that's a good point. I almost said, that's a good point. I could sell it, too. If my son gets famous, I could sell it and make a cool $2,000-$3,000 so I can get an indoor jacuzzi.
No, it'd be like, you know, when he's on the talk show, you right. know, the Jimmy Fallon Senior or whatever could come out and say, oh, we found a little tape of you. Here, let's take a look. You know, let's go to the
tape. They pay for that. Jimmy Fallon is not getting the video for free. I'm going to negotiate that. We've got a funny story we'll tell next time we have an opening about when I got a picture that I took. Made its way to Jimmy Fallon, and I got paid.
Really?
Like for a cell phone picture. And they're like, this is great, can we use it? And I had to fill out all this paperwork, and they essentially lease it from you for $200.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great story about Seth Meyers and the painting, and we don't have time. Well, it's with the Flamenco Passion coming up here. Flamenco coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour, and also Andrew Dice Clay. It's Download. Stay with us. It's a Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up later this hour, Andrew Dice Clay will join us to talk about his show this weekend at the Copernicus Center on the Northwest Side. Of course, Andrew Dice Clay, a very controversial stand-up comedian who has a resurgence of sorts in his show Dice on Showtime. Scott Armstrong was on the show with us talking about that. We'll talk with him about getting back on stage for the summer tour that's coming up after 9:30. Well, this weekend, the popular show Flamenco Passion returns to the North Shore Performing Arts Center in Skokie. This is a concert featuring the best flamenco guitarists and musicians in the world, as presented by the Ensemble Español. These performances are part of the company's 2016 American Spanish Dance and Music Festival, which is on stage till the 25th. The annual event is now 40 years old. I had no idea. Congratulations. In studio with me, Jorge Perez. He's the executive director of Ensemble Español. And also joining us, guitarist Paco Fanta, who's from Spain, who's now living in Miami, a very well-known guitarist. It's a pleasure to have you here in studio. Thanks for being here on the Download. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much for having me here.
All right, so let's talk, Jorge, why don't I start with you? 40 years, congratulations, first off, for that. This is a big festival, and it's a very this part of it is very popular, the Flamenco Passion. Talk about its roots.
Certainly. The Ensemble Español was founded by Dame Libby Camaico, our artistic director, back in 1976. She had auditioned for the famous Jose Greco, who was brought to the United States in the 50s and 60s via Walt Disney. And he loved all three styles of Spanish dance. And he came by Chicago at the Palmer House, and Dame Libby went for an audition, actually a company, a friend of hers. Her friend did not get into the company, but Dame Libby did, and it changed her life. She fell in love with Spanish dance. And she and her mom was a concert pianist, Dorothy Camaico, and they would present all three styles of Spanish dance. And she came to Northeastern, and she presented one concert to a sold-out auditorium, and they never let her go. They invited her to come to give some classes. And then the ensemble, 2 years later, was born with 7 Northeastern students where the company has been in residence all its 40 years. And we became a non-for-profit arts organization. After that, the company continued to grow with these students becoming professionals. And one of the things that Dame Libby had a vision of was, how do I bring Spain to Chicago? How do I further the artists' professionalism and training? And so that's where the birth of the American Spanish Dance and Music Festival, which is having Spain here for all these incredible 10 days. We have these concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. That's one of the biggest highlights that we have throughout the year. And then the artists stay and teach from morning till night for a whole week, June 20th through the 25th at our Northeastern studios. And there they are engulfing and learning with these masters in classical ballet, folkloric dances, and of course, the one that everyone associates Spain with, flamenco.
So that was my question about the three types of Spanish dancing. So you just named them right there. But the flamenco is the popular one. That's the one that people gravitate to.
That's the one that pretty much everyone gravitates to, and it's in the ensemble's mission because of Dame Libby's love and passion that Jose Greco presented all three styles. We definitely have that grand variety in our programming and in our mission. It states on there all three styles, and then we also do it in the traditional and contemporary formats. So there's also been a wonderful variety in our theatrical presentations where flamenco gets fused with contemporary movements and songs and music, as well as with some folkloric mesh there. So it's just to show you the history, we've got over 135 choreographies in the Ensemble Español. We are an international company. Hedy Weiss of the Chicago Sun-Times called us a global phenomenon last year. And the beauty of it is that, you know, we bring through the American Spanish Dance and Music Festival here to Chicago these incredible grand artists like Paco Fonta, who contributes incredibly with the songs of flamenco, composition, as well as his lecture series in informing the folks how it works.
Well, Paco, let's bring you in here. Thanks for being here. And we definitely want you to play some stuff coming up here. Maybe we'll do it after the break. But let's talk about your relationship to flamenco. Where does it come from? Talk about the origins of the music in your life.
The origins come from Andalusia. Flamenco is, as he said, now is universal. Practically everywhere in the world you can have flamenco, and you can hear flamenco maybe better than one. But flamenco started really in Andalusia in a triangle of cities, that was Sevilla, Córdoba, and Cádiz.
Okay.
And from there it spanned to where I was born out of this triangle, but very close. Jaén is in the next city from Córdoba.
Okay.
And from there it spanned. It's all the world, all over the world.
For you, I mean, when did it become a part of your life? I mean, talk about the guitar, talk about flamenco.
I would say that I was born with on it. My, you know, in my family, was they were not artists, but my father will sing. My grandmother used to have a great voice and was always singing, even though at that time her husband would not allow her to sing. The people hear her singing. So only sing it in the house for us. No, you know, that's how it was. Right. You know, the culture
that's interesting.
Was very close. Now it's not anymore like that in Spain. But it used to be like that.
There's a lot of styles of flamenco. I mean, flamenco is a musical genre. I mean, it's a style of music and it's a style of dance. But it's also, I mean, it ranges. It's not a sad type of music. It's not a. There's a lot that's going on with the music.
In flamenco, you can express any kind of feeling. We have, we can be funny, we can be romantic, we can be very happy, we can be dancing, very, you know, and it can be a lot of things. Anything, any kind of feeling that people have, we can express it in flamenco.
Can you express that through your guitar? I mean, if I said play something
guitar,
funny,
singing,
what is what do you
in
play?
In the music, for example, if I play something like what I'm going to play right now, I will ask you, what you think? Well, I'm going to play two of them.
Okay.
And then I will tell you which one is the happy one and which one is the sad
one. Good.
Let me see what you
All
think.
All right, here we go.
And this, by the way, the same, both of them are going to be in the same rhythm. Practically, because we do most of them in the rhythm of 12. It's 12 tempo that repeat itself. Like like the Indian music, they do the, you know, the music that they repeat, it is rhythm, very intricate. They say, oh, this rhythm is 17. Wow, how are you going to be counting 17? Over and over, you know? The flamenco is like that, but we have some kind of pattern that we do. Okay. And this is a 12 rhythm.
12, okay.
Both of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to play one first and then the other one. So we'll go.
You don't need
to. Which one is the happy? Which one is the
tough call? I would say the happy was the latter, the second one, right?
It's very clear.
Yeah,
I think so. It's very expressive. That's what I'm trying to say. It's very expressive. And it, as this, we can do like a, for example, we do the Tanguillo. That was Solea, the first one. Solea is mean in English, in Solea is loneliness.
Loneliness.
And the other
okay.
one was Alegrías. Alegrías is very, it's happiness. It's very clear.
Paco Fanta is in studio with us. He's performing as part of the 2016 American Spanish Dance and Music Festival, specifically Flamenco Passion. This is on stage this weekend at the North Shore Performing Arts Center in Skokie. Also with us, Jorge Perez. He's the executive director of Ensemble Español. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Paco, you play something for us?
Yeah, sure.
All right, stand by.
I'm going to play something from my hometown.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me tonight. This is so fun. We're talking about Flamenco Passion. Jorge Perez, he's the executive director of the Ensemble Español. They're behind the 2016 American Spanish Dance and Music Festival, which is running till the 25th. The last week is the – this weekend's the big stuff at the theater, and then you have the week of classes at Northeastern.
Correct.
This is their 40th year. Also in studio with us, Paco Fanta. He is an internationally recognized flamenco guitarist, singer, and composer, and he's going to play something for us coming up here. So Flamenco Passion, this is the weekend. This is the big show. You expect big crowds because people like the – they like the flamenco.
Yeah, no, it's very, very popular. And this year we're really excited. In honor of the 40th anniversary, we've got incredible guest artists. We've got choreographies by Juan Mata and Ana Gonzalez, who are the founding members of the National Ballet of Spain.
Wow.
The legendary Carmela Greco, daughter of Jose Greco, who helped us start all of this. We mentioned she's got a beautiful Cantejondo deep song, solo seguiría. It's an international phenomenon dances she has. And then we've also have Rojas and Rodriguez, two young choreographers who are just incredible artists. And then, of course, the multi-talented Paloma Gomez, a soloist, a former principal of the National Ballet of Spain.
Wow.
And so the variety is fantastic. Musicians from Madrid, Antonio Gabari Jimenez, of course, Paco Fonta, Manuel Palacín, flamenco singer. We've got percussionist Javier Saume Mose, and David Chiriboga.
That's
so it's great. I mean, how do you celebrate
that's
40 years
that's
and not
flamenco
go out
passion.
With a bang? That is the passion. And, you know, Justin, one of the beautiful things is that we've been invited for the first time to perform in Spain. It's not our mission in Chicago, Ensemble Español, to present to Spain the Spanish culture music, but the invitation came from the mayor of Fuenlabrada. We took it.
That's
we
great.
Took it. So we're really excited.
When is that?
Folks can come see us, you know, right there at the North Shore, visit our website, ensembleespanol.org, and not have to pay a ticket to go to Spain. You can go right here to the North Shore.
I like that. All right, Paco Fanta, you're going to play something for us here. What are we going to hear?
Well, I decided to play something folkloric, because I played before a little bit of flamenco, so you have an example.
Okay.
So this is the folkloric from Sevilla. It's Sevillanas. They dance it. It's like a couple. They used to dance like the men to seduce the woman. It's a kind of seduction dance. It's very like folkloric. So
all
people
right.
dance it there anywhere. And I'm going to try to play because the, even the Sevillanas, they, we have different styles. So I'm going to play, there is four coplas, and the four coplas is going to be each one different.
All right, okay. Here we go. Paco Fanta and the and we will be in the 2016 American Spanish Dance and Music Festival. All right, Paco, take
and
it
this
away.
Song, this song is played with the castanets, so Jorge is going to be playing the castanets.
All right.
You hear the traca, 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 this is castanets, Jorge, okay? Okay, let's we go. Cartas iban y venían desde Londres a Madrid. Desde Londres a Madrid, cartas iban y venían desde Londres a Madrid. Loco estoy yo, vida mía, lo mismo que tú por mí. Lo mismo que tú por mí, en el Palacio de Oriente, todo risa y alegría. Doña Cristina sonríe al ver a su hijo tan feliz. Qué bien parece, doña Victoria Eugenia, qué bien parece, doña Victoria Eugenia y Alfonso XIII. La primera de Farfa. Oigo por ese coro, ¿qué? Busco el quererte, busco el quererte. Quererte como si fuera mía, busco el quererte como si fuera mía, busco el quererte, busco el quererte en la luz de tus ojos, veo mi suerte y en la luz de tus ojos veo mi suerte. Es cosa grande que en la luz de tus ojos, es cosa grande que en la luz de tus ojos mi alma quiera encontrarme. The second one, ok. Oigo for the third. Cuando paso por el puente Triana contigo, vida mía. Cuando paso por el puente Triana contigo, vida mía, Triana contigo, vida mía, de mirarte solamente Triana me muero de alegría. Porque tienes unos ojos Triana igual que dos luceros, Triana igual que dos luceros, una clase de hechura Triana que va del mundo entero. Si por otro me dejara Triana de pena moriría. Cariño, te quiero y te querré, eres mi norte, mi día. Triana, Triana y olé.
¡Olé!
¡Hola! ¡Vamos a la cuarta! ¡A la cuarta, Sevilla! ¡Olé! Ya bailan los farolillos al viento de la mañana. Al viento de la mañana ya bailan los farolillos al viento de la mañana, ya bailan los farolillos al viento de la mañana. Al viento de la mañana, el blanco y el amarillo con el blanco y con el grana, el blanco y el amarillo con el verde y con el grana. Baila el payo y el gitano, el sombrero y el volante, las copas en la mano, viva la feria y el cante, que viva los sevillanos. La cuarta. Cuatro, four.
Hey, give us up to the street.
Hey, you got
a crowd. You got a crowd out here.
There on the window.
Hey, Paco Fanto.
Come to Skokie.
Paco Fanta. He is the flamenco guitarist, singer, and composer, and he's performing as part of the 2016 American Spanish Dance and Music Festival in the concert Flamenco Passion, which is at the North Shore Performing Arts Center in Skokie. It's going to be this weekend and also some classes this the week after. Jorge Perez, Executive Director of Ensemble Español, Paco Fanta, guest artist here. I can't thank you enough for playing in studio. That was a great performance.
Oh, thank
and thank you so much for coming in, both of you, and sharing your talents here with WGN Radio.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, there are a few comedians that are able to play Madison Square Garden. I mean, it's almost unheard of.
Unless, of course, you're Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah. The iconic comedian and now actor is having a bit of a resurgence thanks to his unbelievable performance on the Showtime show Dice. Dice plays Dice, trying to get back on top in Las Vegas. He also has shown his acting chops in Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine and on HBO shows Entourage and Vinyl. And this summer, he's touring the country doing stand-up shows. Andrew Dice Clay is coming to the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park on the 18th of June. And he is my guest tonight on The Download. Dice, thanks for being here.
Hey, what a great intro. Amazing. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, I think we should start right at the top. Why is Ford Fairlane so underappreciated? It's one of our favorite movies here on The Download.
Oh, no, that was all during the controversy of Dice and the media coming after Dice. The movie itself was a good movie.
It was a great
movie. People loved it. But the studio at the time was afraid because of all these threats to the studio, and they just pulled it. Hmm. So it was a chance for all the critics around the country. At that time, all the critics, where, you know, I was selling 20,000 seats a night, places like even Chicago, the Rosemont Arena, you know, which I did 5 times. You know, the media didn't know what to make out of me because no comic in history ever did those many arena shows. It was scary to them. And I've always compared it almost to the beginning of Elvis Presley's career, where people were, like, afraid. They never saw anybody like him before. And in the world of stand-up, somebody like Dice never happened before that would fill these gigantic places and audiences would be screaming for more than a rock band.
Yeah.
So it was, the Ford Fairlane thing was right in the middle of all that. So they pulled the movie after, like, a week.
No.
Not because it wasn't earning, you know. My manager at the time ran to Europe when it opened. You know, when that movie came out on video, you know, which we don't have today, when it came out on video, you know, they used to say, you know, rent videos for $2. Mm-hmm. But if you kept the video, they charge you $100.
Right.
You know, the first month Ford Fairlane came out on video, they sold close to 500,000 at $100 a pop. So the studio, and plus they played the movie all over the world. It's got this built-in audience that still wants to see a sequel to it.
Right.
You know, but even, you know, the first weekend made close to $14 million, which people listening today would go, that's no big deal. The movies come out, they make $50 million. But you're talking about, you know, 30 years ago.
I can't believe it's that long ago.
When movie prices were like
$7. Yeah, if that, right.
You know, now you got to put a down payment on a ticket to walk into a movie.
Well, let's talk about your career. Obviously, I'm interested in the character Dice. I mean, I was looking, researching a little bit, talking about how it got started. But you really made a concerted effort in your career to say, this is the character I'm going to double down on, because you were doing other stand-up acts and not just the character Dice. What drew you to make that your life's work?
You know what? It was just an evolution of how I was doing stand-up. You know, but I was doing stand-up to work on my acting chops. You know, instead of going to acting school once a week, I would get on a stage every night. But also, after I did, you know, Don Kirshner's rock concert, and I was doing impressions, and it was like I need to be more of just the Brooklyn guy I am when I go on stage, so movie producers could buy me to play that kind of thing.
Right.
But as I was working on it, I just really got good at the stand-up.
Yes.
You know, because I'm in comedy clubs. And it just evolved into absolute mania by 1988.
Was there ever a time before that mania, I mean, when you saw the mania coming, that you feared for a typecast kind of situation where, you know?
No, not at all, because, you know, I just love always performing. And, you know, I grew up more listening to rock and roll, and I was a drummer, and, you know, I could sing and dance and all that stuff. So, you know, when I started seeing other comedians, like at the Comedy Store in L.A., the one thing I noticed is a lot of them don't have performing chops. They might have good material, but they didn't really know how to work a stage properly, you know, to really excite an audience. And that's what I was good at.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember talking to my own mother when I would visit back in Brooklyn going, you know what? I'm just going to create the Elvis of comedy, not rock and roll, because it was already done in rock and roll. It was done in film with everybody from James Dean all the way to Travolta in movies like Fever and Grease. You know, it was done on TV by Henry Winkler playing the Fonz. I go, but there was never that, like, hero comic, you know, and so I used all my influences, you know, as far as the way I would dress on stage with the high collars and the rhinestones. That was stuff I would get, like, from watching Elvis with his jumpsuits, you know, so I wanted to create a leather jacket that looked like a jumpsuit, and I loved it, but it was a mistake because I would do a concert and some of those jackets weigh like 30 pounds.
Sweating out of it.
You know? Yeah, it was, but people loved it. And, you know, that was more important to me than wearing, you know, a shirt with rolled up cuffs under a sweater. I really love to excite my audiences that they walk out and they're going, I never saw anything like that.
The one thing, I mean, obviously the audiences grew and grew and grew, and past you just being a good stand-up comedian and having such a loyal following, when you look back on that time, I mean, you were more than just a stand-up. You became a trend. You became almost like an American icon, as I mentioned at the top. Talk about that, being in the middle of that with everything from the censorship to being, you know, referenced by leaders. I mean, it just felt like Andrew Dice Clay was much more than just a stand-up comedian.
The media is what turned it into that, but for me, it was just about being in front of these audiences. The dream had come true, because once I really decided to go for it, even in the world of stand-up, you know, even comics back then, you know, that I started with, when they would ask me, like, where do you see yourself going with this? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to be the biggest stand-up in the world. I'm doing something nobody's ever done. And it's either going to go nowhere or I'll be the biggest in the world, because it's never happened. And it wound up the biggest in the world. And to this day, you know, I take a lot of pride, you know, when I hear certain comics, certain friends of mine, like Louis C.K., who came out and did the L.A. Forum, you know, which is an 18,000-seater. And, you know, Kevin Hart's done some arenas. And there have been a few guys to sell some arenas, but I did over 300 of those sold out in a day and age where there was no Facebook, no Twitter, no followers. It was just word of mouth. And I'm glad I'm the original. It's a great thing to know when I look back, yeah, especially now that the career is completely gone through the roof again.
I'm intrigued by that because, you know, here you come. You've had such a great run here with Dice, your own show on Showtime, and then also, you know, you were in Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine, which Scott Armstrong, who was on this show, said he saw you in, and that's when he really he gravitated towards you. Talk about getting back on
well,
top.
I got to say about Scott that, you know, he's the one guy that I've run into that completely got the concept of what I wanted to do in a TV series. And he's the one that keeps me leveled out as to all the different sides of my personality. I mean, he's an amazing, number one, he's just a great guy. Mm-hmm. I love the guy. He's great at directing me. He's great at writing for me. And, you know, the public has already voted as far as what they think of the show. And we're waiting to see if we get the pickup. And I don't sweat those things because, you know, I would love to do it for a bunch of seasons. But, you know, you never know what goes on with a network. I mean,
yeah.
When Louis C.K. first had his show on HBO, they canceled him after a few episodes.
Yeah.
That's how me and Louis became friends, because I met him in the parking lot of the Comedy Store, and we became friends, and, you know, he just couldn't get past the cancellation, and I said, Louis, sometimes they just got to cancel stuff. It's the pecking order. And look at him now. The show got picked up by FX. It's a giant hit. I'm not looking to go anywhere else with the show. I mean, Showtime's been great for me for years now. They gave me a special a few years ago. I've had on other specials for them. I did the Blue Comedy special. I did Indestructible. And they gave me an incredible shot, and people love it. But till they make that call, you know, you don't know what it's up in the air.
What are the challenge of playing yourself?
There isn't one, because I'm very open to showing. You know, that's the only frustrating part. When you're on a comedy stage, when I'm doing a concert, you know, it's that side of me. It's the stand-up side. But to put me in a series and show his home life and his friends and his family, and, you know, when my girlfriend gets to yell at me on film and I'm looking at the floor, that every guy could go, okay, I get it now. He's on stage kicking ass, taking names, but he's just like us. When the chick is angry, he's looking at the floor going, all right, how do I figure this out so I get laid again tonight? You know, that's it. I go through the same class everybody goes through.
So for you as a stand-up comedian, and you're going back, you know, this summer you're playing the big gigs again. Are you the kind of stand-up comedian, you mentioned the Comedy Store and being in L.A., are you the kind of stand-up that likes to go back to the dingy small room and work out your material, or is it big room or bust for Dice?
No. I love clubs, but I never, ever go and work on material, ever. I will sit in my backyard, I'll smoke a little weed, I'll let my mind go, and I'll come up with a new 10 minutes. And the rehearsal for that 10 minutes is in concert. Hmm. That's it. You know, my opening act, Eleanor Kerrigan, to me, she's the best female stand-up in the country. She's not the most famous yet. She needs her own special. But this girl's from South Philly. She does 3 and 4 of those shows a night when she's in L.A., like the little comedy rooms. And then she'll call me up, and I'll do 10 minutes of material. And she'll go, where did you work that out? And I go, in the backyard. And she goes, and you're going to go on stage with that. I'm doing 4 shows a night. You're going to go on stage and just slaughter, untried, unproven. When I recently did The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, he really wanted a stand-up set. And, you know, instead of sitting on the panel, you know, and breaking up stand-up and panel, I told their producer, Michael Cox, I said, if I don't want to do the panel, how much time will you give me?
Right.
And he said, well, the longest anybody's ever done is 5 minutes. You can't go longer than 5 minutes. Well, the bottom line, people can look it up on the internet. My set on the Fallon Show is the longest stand-up set in the history of late-night TV. You know, from Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, to Jimmy Fallon, 6 minutes and I think 28 seconds or 23 seconds, and that was without Jimmy Fallon's intro. And from that one shot, we're now booking amphitheaters. Where am I playing again, by the way?
You're playing at the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park.
Well, I better see every seat sold out because I won't come back there again. Because I'm selling out all over the country, and Chicago means a lot to me, personally. You know, my son's band, Still Rebel, you know, they're opening Ozfest this year.
Okay.
You know, they're calling in like, I didn't even know she had a number on me, but I got a text from Sharon Osbourne about 3 weeks ago, and this is the last Ozfest. And she said, your boys have to open it. The point I'm bringing out is that their mother, I met her in Chicago many years ago when I was doing a Michael Mann show. Michael Mann, who produced, you know, Miami Vice.
Yeah, of course.
We were shooting a show in Chicago called Crime Story.
Right, of course.
You know, yep. Which starred Dennis Farina. I'm really saying this for the younger people out there that you know, that are not as old as me, but it was Dennis Farina and Michael Madsen and Tony Dennison and Kevin Spacey and David Caruso, all these great actors that came out of Crime Story. And while I was doing it, I met their mom there. So Chicago was like always in my heart. And when I started doing concerts, you know, I made sure to come to Chicago a lot. So I better see every seat full there or I ain't coming back. You know, like my agents go, you know, you're going to push the gig. I go, push the gig. It should already be sold out. Chicago.
It should be home away from home. That's right.
I used to go to the Circle. What do we call the Circle again there in the city?
The Loop downtown or the UIC the campus. Loop. Yeah, the Loop.
The greatest restaurants. You know, I just have so many great memories of Chicago through all the years. And I haven't been there in a few years because I had to rebuild. I had to, you know, bring my sons up after I went through a divorce with their mom. And get them started, you know, doing what they wanted to do. And, you know, who cares about a career if you bring up two dummies? You know, if you have kids, you got to bring them up. You got to teach them. When I see all these people cross the street, adult people, and they don't look both ways, I'm going, I don't blame them. I blame the parents. You know, so I did that, and now I'm back out there.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Chicago's excited to have Andrew Dice Clay back at the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park. You're excited. All right. We're excited.
Yeah.
On the
18th excited.
Of June, Andrew Dice Clay, amazing to talk to you. Thanks for being my guest tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you then, buddy.
It's going down,
All right, it's the music. We're excited to bring you The Worst here, our weekly segment where we collectively bemoan and complain about the worst things in our society for prizes. That's what we're doing. 312-981-7200. Are you ready to play The Worst? Pete, you know what's the worst? When dogs poop on the sidewalk and then people don't clean it up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
Amen.
That. There's one thing to poop in the grassy area. But there's another to actually be the person who's like, okay, it's on the sidewalk. I'm just not going to clean it up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I spent my day a little bit today picking sidewalk poop off. Because
sometimes it looks like pudding.
Yeah.
And you're always like, don't step in the pudding.
It was in front of my house, and I just didn't want it dragged up and down.
It gets smeared.
Right. You didn't want to be poop shamed. You were like, that's not my poop.
It's not our poop.
That's not my poop.
All right. In studio tonight, we've got two very funny people, Claire Zolke and Amy Sumter. Claire, of course, is the person who brings us funny haha at the Hideout. It used to be once a month. Now it's kind of once
a month. Never once a month.
Never?
Not in your wildest dreams. It's four times a year, whatever I can.
That's what
get
happens.
To.
When your memory starts to fade.
Do you think this is the interview show? I don't read off book either.
No,
I'm
you
not
don't.
Mark Baser.
Okay. So you do funny haha, which is a literary series at the Hideout once a quarter.
Right.
And it is this Friday night. It's
yes.
called Funny Ha Ha Cool Kids.
Right. And it's a literary humor reading series.
There
so it's
go.
Like if you want to hear some funny stuff, but it's not stand-up and it's not improv, some awesome people who actually run a bunch of other shows in Chicago are going to come and read and tell some really funny stories and maybe the best venue in Chicago. So you should definitely come and check
great.
It out.
That's Friday night. Amy Sumter will be a part of that show.
Woo-hoo!
And she's also a stand-up comedian. She'll be performing at the Chicago Women's Funny Festival this weekend, stage 773. She's also part of She's Crafty, the Beastie Boys tribute band. They'll be performing at MCA Day, August 6th at the Lincoln Hall. Claire, Amy, thanks for being here to judge the worst. 312-981-7200 is the number. If you have something that you want to contribute to the worst, now's the time to do it. We're giving away tickets to this week's 20th annual Blues on the Fox Festival in River Edge Park in Aurora. That's cool. That's a very cool two-day party in the Fox Valley. So we're giving away those tickets. And of course, Lou Malnati's gift certificates. Pete Zimmerman, I want to say you're the, you're almost the parade. What did they call the guy who, Grand Marshal? You're the Grand Marshal of the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would call myself the Grand Marshal of the worst.
Why don't you kick it off tonight?
Justin, you know what's the worst?
What's the worst, Pete?
When somebody takes a spot in the overhead bin for their hat.
Oh.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That guy.
I'm not a big fan of people who, and this happens to everybody, and I've been in a situation where I've done it too, where you take a spot that's not your designated overhead bin spot. And I know that that's a trickle-down effect, or that's kind of like a dominoes thing because somebody took that and then you moved to.
It's like the parking spot situation.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. If I mean, we can We can regulate a lot of things in this world, but we can't regulate overhead bins.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And then you're just apologizing the rest of the way to your seat. You're like, I'm sorry. Yeah. My spot was filled. I'm sorry. And it's awful.
All right. Why don't we start? Claire, what do you got for the worst?
Oh, I got a lot today. Right now, ATMs that give you a receipt without asking if you want one, and there's no garbage can to throw the receipt. And then you're like, what do I do? Do I add to the pile of receipts that
are
here?
Do you just leave it there?
Do I put it in my pocket, you know?
You got to go pocket at that point.
I didn't want my receipt anyway. It's not, you know, I think it usually says, like, thanks for using our ATMs. You're not even getting your money's worth. So it's just garbage, so...
Garbage ATM
over
receipts.
It. Yeah.
You know what gets me is gas station receipts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the same way. At a certain point, I used to collect that stuff, and I'm like, and then I just was like, you know what? I'm going to the gas station a lot, and I'm spending money, and I don't need a receipt for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to come back. But, you know, I asked for a quarter tank, and I got all, you know, you can't get anything back from that.
You're going to spread every night, spread them out, your receipts, exactly. Check them out.
All right, Amy. Amy, what do you got?
I really hate when you're driving and you let somebody in and they don't give you the hand. Like, if you don't give me the hand in traffic, I'm just like, I hope you crash.
I agree.
Like, it's awful.
You regret. You want to go back. I have a hand.
And then I'm just like, I don't want to let you in now. And then I'm just angry.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I'm just like, no common curse.
It's that like to me gets to the big city problem where I feel like in the big city when you're used to the merge and everyone is just like, you know, hunking metal next to each other,
yes.
That there's a lot of times that the wave doesn't happen. And I'm okay as the other driver because I'm like, hey, we're cool. We know it.
Yeah.
It's rush hour. We know it. You don't have to wave. That's just the way we roll.
But right. The thing is always like when you like do something like extra nice, it's like you brought cookies to the office. You know what I mean? But like you let this person in when everybody else was being a jerk and then they're just like, rah! And you're like, you don't need to be rah! And then it just makes me rah.
Well, I actually had written down another waving traffic violation
I
have is when you're a pedestrian and a car screeches up to the stop sign, obviously didn't like really meant to roll through it, and they wave you. They're like, I'll allow it. And I walk slow and I look at them so mean.
See, that would be on my worst is entitled pedestrians.
Oh.
Like the idea of like walking through when you're at a stop sign and you stop and or in a situation where there's a flow of traffic and a pedestrian decides to meander.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the worst.
But the worst is when you're in a parking lot and you're like, and someone just keep walking like in a zigzag and they won't walk in a straight line. So you can't even go around them. And you're just like, I just want to get out of here.
I just want to get out of this
orchard. You have no rights in a parking lot.
Like, no. Yeah. And they're just like, look at me walking in a zigzag. And you're just like, I hate your face. I hate you.
I hate your face.
I hate you.
That's actually a great sentiment for the worst tonight. Hate your face. All right. We're getting a lot of great text coming in. Whoa. I didn't even look at this. We're already into the double digits on text. We'll get to those texts.
Snap.
Let's take a quick break. What do you think, Pete? Line up the calls. Get the texts all lined up. Claire Zolke, Amy Sumter in studio. 312-981-7200. What's the worst? Stay with us.
It's going down.
312-981-7200. We are playing the worst here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me, Claire Zolke, Amy Sumter. The show Funny Ha Ha is on stage at the Hideout. Now, you said it's on stage this Friday at
6?
6:30. Claire, the idea of this is a show featuring a lot of people who do shows.
Right, this one, sort of by accident, but then I get really nervous before every show because I'm worried that people drop out or people won't come, or if they come, they're only coming to be nice and they're mad if the show wasn't what they expected. But this one I'm happy about because these are all pros.
Do you have that problem a lot? Do you have a problem where people drop out on you?
It's happened.
Really?
One time, this was legitimate. Sam Irby got bit by a dog and she couldn't come. She had to go get a rabies shot. Fine.
Oh, my God.
Allow it. But I've had people drop out the last minute, and it just kind of, you know, is disappointing because you've been promoting them the whole time.
Well, you got pros at this Funny Ha Ha, which will be at the Hideout on Friday night, 6:30. Amy Sumter will be there. She's also going to be at the Chicago Women's Funny Festival at Stage 773 this weekend. And she's part of She's Crafty, the Beastie Boys tribute band. MCA Day is on August 6th at Lincoln Hall. All right, we're playing the worst. 312-981-7200. I got a lot of texts, but first let's go to the lines. George, what's the worst?
I got the worst for you. Here, how about this? You know, you followed all the instructions. You gave away your bank and your personal information, you know, as asked. And then where is this, you know, $10 million wire transfer from the Philippines you were promised?
That's good. Thanks, George. That's good. That would actually be the worst if this was 1997.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, oh, I can't believe that happened.
When my erection drugs don't come in the mail, it's like, I'm waiting here.
All right. All right. 262. The worst is when your phone rings, you reach into your pocket to grab it, then you drop it on the ground and shatter the screen. During the process, you hurry to answer your phone and cut your finger on the shattered screen.
That's pretty bad.
It's very specific. I don't know if that's a relatable.
Well, you also have the pain of, like, now you're out, you know, $300 or whatever.
Yeah,
too,
right.
So I agree.
A cut finger and having to.
And having to talk on the phone.
Hello.
No, thanks. Yeah, just in general. No.
I cut my cheek now. All right, 262. The worst is when a driver doesn't have an iPass and drives back against traffic to get to the cash lane, risking lives when they can just pay online.
That is the worst.
That is the worst. Yeah, who does that? Worst. Who reverses at all?
It's like a 16-year-old for the first time out driving, and they're terrified, and they think that's the best thing to do.
Or it's like somebody out of state, and they're like, I'm going to get arrested. And I'm like, there's a sign. Just there's keep driving. Like, it's cool.
You'll be all right. A lot of times those gates won't go up. You know, if you're in some of the more antiquated kind of Illinois tolls, they're gated.
You start panicking.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What if I have to live here?
262.
I
have to live.
That's when you just get out and you start picking up the money on the ground. You're like, who's got a quarter?
You go back to the car behind you.
That's why you should always
right.
keep a vest on, in your out. Trunk, yeah. like a yellow vest. You could always
Amen.
Go.
There you go. You could fake being a toll operator. 262, obnoxiously loud motorcycles at stoplights.
Agree.
Word.
Yeah.
Like,
so
no
people who
impressed.
Like rev the engine kind
yeah,
of stuff?
Yeah, I hate that.
What don't get me wrong. I
would
enjoy.
Respect a quiet motorcycle. I would be, that's a cool guy. Like a guy who's a quiet
that's a
motorcycle.
Cool.
So you have to change. You have to change. If we could change the machismo involved.
Yes.
Where the guys thought that a quiet motorcycle was the hot thing.
Absolutely.
Like girls
I
go crazy.
Ladies, this is like Chirac part two.
Right. No, a guy on a motorcycle, I'm like, how low? But then if it's too loud, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Turn it down, big guy. Like,
exactly.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're killing all the Such feelings a, I was having
at,
in my bathroom.
Look at, oh, gosh, look at that suit. Quiet motorcycle. Who's riding that quiet motorcycle?
Who's
you can't
that?
Even hear it when they hit the clutch.
Oh.
Who's that guy?
Who's that conscientious?
I like the when a motorcycle will rev up to go 2 feet, like, because they're frustrated in rush hour traffic,
yeah,
where they
word.
Get really loud for a second because they're like, I got this motorcycle. I want to turn it on.
Yes.
I'm going to go like, in between right. the cars, yeah. but you guys are too close.
Yes.
I can't do it. I changed my mind. Just kidding.
312-981-7200. 630 says, well, the worst is when 2 to 3 people walk extremely slowly down the street, blocking the sidewalk.
Yes.
So no one can get by. They see you in their peripheral vision, rushing or trying to get past, and they don't move over. Smiley or no, sad face, sad face, sad face.
Amen.
Yeah.
The tall lady who's got long, luscious legs.
It's true.
Even with plantar fasciitis, I mow everybody down. I'm just like, get out my way.
Yeah. When
get
I'm jogging and I way. See those people, I clip them on purpose. I make myself, I'm like man spread, but with my arms, and then I get
the elbow spread.
Yeah.
Elbow spread.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's awesome. I respect that.
Thanks.
The sound, George 331 says, the sound flip-flops make on a man's size 13 foot in a grocery store.
Agree.
That's
absolutely.
That's very specific, George. I like that.
I think so. Especially when you're all slow pushing the cart, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at the yogurt. Just forget it. Put some real shoes on.
Put some real shoes on. Ugh. I'm going to be real. I love me some flip-flops, but the flip-flops gave me the plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, same.
But now I have insoles, and the insoles make farting noises when I walk.
You have insoles
in
your flip-flops?
No, I meant like my regular shoes.
Okay.
But just like making noise as you walk, I'm just, it's like the lady from 16 Candles.
Yeah.
You know, the lady at the end where she just like cluck, clung, which I'm just horrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, stop it.
A lot of feet tonight.
Agreed.
Right? 219 says, dog poop? Nothing. I work at Job Corps in Little Village, and there are at least 100 geese.
Ew.
Those are poop machines.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like Diarrheaville.
It's true.
It's pretty bad.
Little Diarrhea Village. No, it didn't come across right.
No offense, Little Village.
630 says, pedestrians who think they own the road are the worst. Okay.
Yeah. Bird.
Word.
Everybody who thinks they own the road is the worst.
Yeah, I feel like we need to have like a summit where just like all the bikers and the walkers and the drivers come together and we're just like, let's hug it out, guys.
Nobody has any empathy because you know when you're driving down like Sheridan Road trying to, you know, during rush hour and someone's parallel parking, you're like, oh, you're like, come on. What kind of selfish idiot would parallel park? But then if it's you and you're parallel parking, you're like, come on, go around. Stop looking at me.
I used to live on a busy street and whenever they'd start honking at me, I would just be like, I live here.
This is my right.
Just yell at. It was horrifying.
We had that earlier as one of the worst, is when people decide to double park on a two-lane street where it's just a, you know, a regular road, and they decide instead of finding a spot where maybe it's a tow zone or a hydrant, they just decide, you know what, I'm going to double right here.
Yeah.
There's no way to get around
it. I always think about giving them the finger, but then I'm always scared, so I just think about
probably
it.
Good.
Justin, can I crash this party for just a second?
Mark's here crashing the party.
In the same vein, it is totally against common human decency when you pull up to the front of your child's school to allow your child out when there is protocol at said school and a specific area to drop your kids off. So as 99% of us follow the rules, 1% don't. I almost four-wheeled over a woman who was doing that with her child. Now, had the child's safety not been in jeopardy, I would have gone over her Volvo in a heartbeat. I'm done.
Right here and out.
You were just doing
that's
some
the worst.
Off-roading that has with
been
your
in,
minivan.
That has been in me so long, Justin. I just had to let it out.
Let it out.
I like that, Rob. Thank you.
Get it out.
And now I think everyone who drops off their kid or breaks the rules at drop-off will think twice now.
And that's Indian Grove Elementary School in Mount Prospect, Illinois. So look out.
I made their year books. I hope they enjoyed them.
Oh,
well, there you go. All right, 630 says, when you get a pop at the gas station and the lid is just a bit too small, so every time you grab it to take a sip, the lid comes off and you spill everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's universal. Yeah. All right, much, much more here. There's a lot of texts that are coming through and phone calls too. 312-981-7200. We're complaining about the worst for prizes. Stay with us. All right, we're continuing with the worst right after the news. Rob, I just wanted to say that I got a great text here. From 630, we're just reading it. Hold on, where is that? Go Rob, 630. Go Rob, you said it. I haven't had a kid in elementary school for over 10 years, and I still got angry at that.
It's amazing because the street's narrow right in front of the school, and they have a procedure, and it's very efficient.
Yeah.
The school does a really good job of getting the kids out of the car at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
Breaking, why you need to feel as though you have to do that.
Breaking school drop-off or pick-up protocol is just the worst.
Reminds me of Michael Keaton and Mr. Mom. Hey, hey, north to drop-off, south to pick-up. Get it right next time, buddy.
What's going down, y'all?
We're playing the worst here on the download on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Claire Zuhlke and Amy Sumpter. They are comedians. Claire Zuhlke's show, Funny Haha, literary humor series, quarterly, is on stage at the Hideout this Friday night.
Right.
And Amy Sumpter will be a part of that show. She's also going to be at the Chicago Women's Funny Festival at Stage 773 this weekend. And sure, her Beastie Boys tribute group, She's Crafty, will be celebrating MCA Day. There you go, right?
Lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And August 6th at Lincoln Hall. All right, so we're playing the worst here. 312-981-7200. Why don't we start with the phones? Chris, what's the worst?
Hey, I'm a Jewel Osco employee, and every day people just leave stuff behind. And I think I just had a, I don't know if you guys bring the Jewel, but we have a glass case for the cakes.
Oh, yeah.
I just restocked them. And this lady, it's summertime. This was like about a week ago. And she had these pool, we have Osco, and we have all these the pool stuff. So she had like 10 pool noodles. She didn't want them, and she just dropped them in there and walked away. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Chris, that's terrible. That is the worst.
And that is the worst.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's just every day there, you know, with people, they go in the roll bins and they don't want them and they put them back and it's like, come on.
People are so lazy.
They are.
That is awesome.
So that's, yeah.
All right, also, like, be a little bit, like, don't be so obvious. Like, why are you putting the biggest product in the store?
Go to the seasonal aisle, at least.
So when you go there and they don't have it, that's your end. So people, they take it, they don't want it, and then we throw it away.
Chris,
so.
When I worked at your competitor, Dominic's. I worked at Dominic's, they would have I forgot what they called it, but it'd be like one of the employees was on sort of put-back duty, where you'd have to go, all the stuff would get put in a cart, and then you'd have to go around and put it all back.
The Overstock cart.
Overstock cart. Yeah, is that where that stuff ends up? Do you get that detail?
That's front end. I'm in bait shop, so I'm always doing all the other stuff over there. But yeah, that's how they are. They just leave things. I mean, just yesterday I had one of my frozen department come and say, "You got cakes and donuts jammed in the freezer." I'm like,
Justin, you should do an all grocery store version of the worst.
It's so good. Chris, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Chris, thank you for that. All right,
I
like Chris.
Don't desecrate the donuts and freeze them. Like, what kind of monster
imagine
does
it, I mean, the amount of work that goes into the bakery case and the glass case to get the stuff in there and have all the cakes ready, and then for someone to just put some pool toys.
I've been noticing the pool toy displays at my Jewel, and I've been like wondering who's been buying impulse buys of like they're gigantic like pool toys. It's not like a little like I can throw a water.
So
pistol
somebody
in there.
Made the call on, and then they got halfway through the store, and they're like, "Why do I want these?"
Yeah, maybe bad choice. You know what? She didn't bring enough bags. She didn't have didn't bring her bag. I have another produce related one. Okay. Not produce. Excuse 312- me.
312-981-7200. Go, Claire.
When you crack open an egg and anything besides egg is in the egg.
Oh, like what?
Like a little blood. I've heard like someone found a beak in there
once. Oh, my God.
I don't want to be reminded of – I just give me like an egg cube pellet thing.
My old roommate was cracking an egg, and it was like a little dark, and we were like, "Should we?" And I was like, "We'll put it in like in another bowl just in case, whatever." And she like cracked it and put her hand out, and she was like, "It's not." And it was just like, "Get a plastic bag." Cuz we just knew it's like going to be smelly and it like went out, like we just threw it outside. We were just like, "No."
Get the hazmat suit on.
Yeah, pretty much.
773 says, when you think you got every answer correct on a test and the next morning you find a big fat D minus on your paper.
Oh, that stinks. Buddy. I mean, when you know you're doing bad, that's one thing. But when you think you're doing good.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I was going to say, you may want to take stock.
Yeah.
Because if you think you're getting every question right and you end up with a D minus.
That's true.
I don't know.
That is bad.
You might have to get back to the old books.
Get a study guide there. Get a study guide.
620. When people come in 5 minutes before close to do their weekly grocery shopping, that's the worst. We're getting a lot of grocery employees tonight. All right, let's keep going. Okay, this is a good one. 773, the worst is when you buy a large iced coffee for your long drive into work to discover after you've left the drive-thru that there's no straw.
Evil.
Yeah, well, you could... I guess
you just popped a lid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It defeats the whole purpose of like driving and
depends
drinking.
Depends on,
you know? So.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not an iced coffee. Maybe I have to get back into that mode and get back.
No, I agree. That would be tough because the straw is imperative when you're driving.
Yeah.
And also the top is different, so it's not like you can just flip it open and like drink.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
not
I mean?
Like a regular
and
coffee.
I assume I rescind. That is pretty bad.
Yeah, so call. Yeah, Claire.
Sorry,
have some
I check my privilege.
708 says the worst is when CTA and Pace buses swerve in and out of traffic and cut off drivers. Yes.
Yes.
The worst is when people text and drive on Lakeshore Drive.
Oh,
specifically Lakeshore Drive, huh?
Anywhere. But, yeah, I have to say I got pulled over for – I got busted. And it was the worst because I was so full of shame because I actually told the police officer, like, I know what I did, and I'm so sorry, and I know better. And I think he kind of was like, all right.
Like it's okay.
Yeah. It just was so embarrassing. But, you know, I learned my lesson.
And there you go. All right. Okay, this is a good one. 773. When an innocuous Facebook status turns political, complaining about the weather is not attacking Bernie, bro.
There's a lot of layers there.
So sunny today. Yeah, you'd say that. Sounds just like Hillary supporters. That is good.
Don't take away my guns. Like you're just like, whoa.
All right, okay. No one's taking away anything.
Yeah, I was just talking about the weather.
All right. This is a good one. 262. The worst is when you want to play the worst. And you have to pull over to send a message because the law frowns upon sending text messages while driving big rigs.
Boom.
Yep.
So what's the worst? The worst, not only is the worst texting and driving an 18-wheeler, but pulling it over on 294 to text a gift certificate.
I love it, though.
That might be a little too much. Like, if I don't know. I get really unsettled as a driver on an expressway when a truck has double parked.
Like a quick stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that.
I also want to know what the payload is. What have we got going on back there? Like, is this, you know, do we have some chickens that are waiting to get someplace? Like,
there's something live?
Yeah, exactly.
Some cargo, no big deal.
I want to say I think the worst because it's seasonal, and I don't mean to get controversial here, but men's sun hats. are, to me, the worst. And I'm surprised fashion hasn't found a better way of protecting a man's face and mm-hmm. neck in a way.
What's
that,
a man's sun hat?
Like a
safari hat?
Kind of like a fishing hat thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like women can kind of wear like a big floppy hat yeah. in the sun.
Like the stuff that they have at the Cubs game where it's like kind of like a floppy yeah. with a C on it.
There's yeah. no way to make it not look terrible. You could put one on George Clooney and you're like, oh, what a yeah. schmo. So like,
no yeah, it's very cargo shorts. Like, go Cubs, go. Yeah. Rocky yeah. Bell.
Yo, bro.
Bro, you like my hat? It's $20. Bro. $20 from the vendor.
Bro, got this at Walgreens. Greatest purchase I ever did. It's great.
All right. Okay. The worst is when a taxi speeds ahead, then cuts you off, brake checks you on purpose.
Yes.
You know what's the best, though? Have you ever seen a taxi driver and a bus driver get in a fight?
Ooh, yes.
You're kind of like, I don't know who to cheer for.
I was a trolley driver, yeah. and you'd be driving up and down Michigan Avenue, and you'd see it all the time. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. But then also, yeah, sometimes you'd be like in between, and you're like, ah!
Yeah.
I hate you both.
Yeah.
224 says, I love you.
Team nobody.
224 says, when you grab a condiment off the shelf on the door of your fridge and the entire shelf comes with it.
Yes.
That yeah, would be the worst.
Terrible. Yeah.
Fridge problems in general.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like when it's making too much noise, it's the worst. When the light bulb goes off, it's the worst.
When something spills and you got like 24 acres to clean up.
I had this happen to me the other day where I shoved a pizza. And then I still had like half left. And the lazy me was like, well, I'm not going to wrap that. I'm just going to put it back in the cardboard and shove it in the fridge.
Yep.
You know, like, and it barely fit in there. And I just really crammed it in there. And then I walked away and I came back. And I'm like, and then I went over to the fridge and I'm like, oh, it's open.
Yeah.
You know, like, so like it popped it open.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then not only was the light dead, right? But there was like a fire kind of smell.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. From it.
Yeah, like I had overheated. Like I not only did the fridge stay open, but whatever I'd done to jam it into the back of the fridge and I like almost burned my house down because I was too lazy to put aluminum foil
on it. And I bet it was like one
crappy
like
pizza I never ate.
That one piece of pizza left in the box.
No, I didn't even make it. Like 3 days later I'm like, oh, let's throw that away.
No.
So it was like all of that for nothing.
Yeah.
All the way across I should have just put it in there. All right.
I once overstuffed my dryer and I melted my the mattress pad as well as a few blankets.
Oh.
Like it, like they like straight up melted.
Like the, yeah.
And I mean,
like
I was I should have just done two more loads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have to buy $100 worth of blankets. No big deal.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're going to wrap up here. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we will reward the winners of the worst. Stay with us.
What's going down? The worst come to work to my people. She come first.
It's the worst here on the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Claire Zolke, Amy Sumter in studio. Claire Zolke's show, Funny Ha Ha, is on stage Friday night, 6:30 at the Hideout. Claire, who's going to be on that show?
It's going to be awesome. Carly Oishi and Rosamund Lannan from Misspoken.
Carly was on the show. She did Right Club Radio.
Okay, oh, awesome. She's awesome. Jeremy Owens from You're Being Ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Keith Ecker. Yes, he's very funny.
He's funny, too.
Keith from Pleasure Town. Inez Bellina. She'll be new to the show. She's co-host of the podcast Double X Will Travel. Jill Howe from Story Sessions and Ms. Amy Sumter will
Good
be coming
crew.
Back. Yes.
And Amy Sumter is going to be at the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. A lot of great comedians on that stage this weekend at Stage 773. Check that out. And also, She's Crafty, her Beastie Boys tribute act is going to be celebrating MCA Day on August 6th at Lincoln Hall. All right. Okay, so we're about to give the winners their prizes, but before we do that, let's discard all of our leftover the worsts. What do you guys have?
Mine is getting ready for bed. First of all, you have to wash your face, you have to change your pajamas, you have to make the coffee. But then I have been doing this thing lately where I've been decided to brush my teeth exactly the way my dentist tells me to
see
if he notices.
Right.
And so it takes 3 minutes, which is so long.
But do you think, okay.
I love it.
That's weird. You're trying to, because I have that feeling too of like wanting to get the, the love of my dentist.
Right? I always get criticized for the same thing. So I'm just curious to see if I can actually circumvent that or if I can finally say like, you know what, just get over it, doctor.
Like, this is the way my mouth is.
This is what I pay you to do is get this stuff out of here.
This
so.
Is the way my mouth is.
Yeah. You should be honored that I even came in here.
Right. Awesome.
All right, Amy, what do you got?
Jazz. I just hate it.
like, stop
it. I'm such a jazz
stop
lover.
Stop it. Look at you and your horn going crazy over there. Just knock it off. Just knock it off. I don't know. That and, you know, loving a baseball team and it being number one and being really great, and then they just kind of blow it, and everybody blames the coach who you've been in love with since you were 12. Robert Ventura, I love you. I know you're married, but my heart will go on. I love you, and I know they're going to fire you, and it makes me so sad, and that's the worst.
I saw an article today that I forgot. Maybe it was the Tribune said that why not AJ Pierzynski?
Oh, I saw that too. And that would be awesome.
That would be awesome and a huge disaster.
Yeah.
You know what though?
Players would hate him.
Yeah.
You know what though? Like, he's a man that, like, as a performer, I admire him so much because he's one of those people, like, he just feeds on the hate. Because I know I've gone into shows where I'm like, you guys are not going to like this.
The White Sox are already kind of the villain. WWF villain.
Yeah. Completely.
We hate children. You know, just completely. And, like, for no reason at all. You know what I mean? I just, whatever.
Well, hey, man.
I love you, Robin. Please call. I know you're married. I respect that. I just nothing sexual. I just want to, like, talk to you. Okay, thanks.
Just slow dance with her for one song.
Just one song. Yeah. Right. Last week, I have to say, as an addendum to last week, Pete, you'll like this, that I was watching HBO this week, and one of my worst last week was how they don't, when you DVR, I DVR the Silicon Valley and Veep, and they don't show the trailer gets cut off, right? Mm-hmm. And that happened on the back end of Silicon Valley again, and I was frustrated. But I had recorded Veep, so it was just the next one. And then on the end of Veep, they fixed it. Hmm. The end of Veep, they did a trailer, and the trailer was like only three episodes left, and they showed the trailer, and it did not cut off.
And you were like, they heard me.
They're like that. So this is almost like, and postscript. Yeah. The worst is working.
Justin has like his master list. And you like carefully take the white out and white it out.
You're like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison. You're just like crossing off HBO Go right now, putting on your lipstick.
They're off. All right. What else do I have? I have Facebook statuses that are more than two paragraphs.
Oh, more than three sentences.
Yeah, I'm okay with a paragraph and then like one sentence to like almost like a that's for punctuation. Almost using a sentence as punctuation. But the nine paragraph, this is how I'm feeling. The other one that I didn't get to is regular people who call it ISIL, not ISIS. Like I get it that's an Obama thing, and I get it's a formal thing, but if you're in casual conversation and you're like, yeah, what's going on with ISIL? I'm like, all right, come on. We all call it ISIS. We've all
called
it ISIS.
It's almost like Iraq. You know what I mean? Because as a Midwesterner, I'm like, Iraq! Look at it! Look at that! And I know like it just sounds awful.
Yeah, right.
And they sound better. But I'm just like stop putting on airs about that.
Yeah,
okay?
That's what it feels like.
Like, come on.
Yeah. It's like going to an Italian restaurant and saying bruschetta, but you want to be like, just bruschetta. Right, tomatoes on some bread.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
The bruschetta? I'm more of a bruschetta guy.
Hey there. I was just wondering if you can give me just a big old pot of food. You know what I mean? I'm going to do all my O's and my A's real big.
Ooh,
okay,
this
thanks.
Looks like real thin spaghetti. All right. The download prizes we're giving away. Third place, you're going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one or more of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. We got two of those. And first place is going to get a pair of tickets to the 20th annual Blues on the Fox Festival at River Edge Park in Aurora on June 17th and 18th. This two-day party in the Fox Valley features the finest in blues music from the Robert Cray Band, Los Lobos, Tedeschi Trucks Band, and more. Get tickets online at riveredgeaurora.com or call 630-896-6666. The Blues are okay?
They're okay.
They're okay. Okay, good. All right, so let's do this. Third place is going to go to George for his very observant grocery store issue. The sound the flip-flops make on a man-sized 13-foot in the grocery store.
Agree. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Squishy, squishy love.
All right. Number two, getting second place, and this is going to be also for a pizza. That was for a pizza, and this is for a pizza. This from 262. The worst is when you want to play the worst and you have to pull over to send a message because the law frowns upon sending text messages while driving big rigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing the symbol for you to blow your air horn right now in the studio.
Please do.
Yeah. And please merge when you're coming back in. Just look in the mirror when you're.
But thank you for pulling over and
thanks
not
for
texting
pulling over.
That.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. And first place, the winner is going to be someone who called in about a complaint from the other side, from the Bakery at Jewel Osco. Chris, you're the winner. Thanks so much for playing. So, again, tell us what's the worst.
Well, I was pretty much when the customer was going through the bake shop, and she had a bunch of pool noodles, and she just didn't want them. She just dumped them on the cakes in the freezer. I was like, what the heck?
You know what? I don't want these pool noodles anymore. I'm just going to put them in the cakes.
She talks. She texted. She like called her husband. And was like, "Honey, how many pool noodles did you need?" And he was like, "I said 12." And she said,
"How many kids are coming to the slumber party? We got 12. Bobby, does Bobby need a noodle? Do you need a noodle? Susie needs a noodle."
I don't know. And she was like 72 years old. I'm like, "Oh man, I'm not going to yell at her."
Oh my god. Well, that's
Justin,
good that you didn't yell.
A little known fact: in Texas, that's punishable by death.
That is. You can't mess with the cakes.
I'd be confused if I got to the cake area and be like, oh, is this like a pool party theme party thing going on there? But yeah, it's
I
like,
probably would have bought the caked up
noodle
pool noodle.
Yeah, that's a good time actually.
But like, is there a sale? Like, what's going on? Yeah. Are they giving away pool noodles?
One guy's worst is the other man's best.
There
right?
you go, Chris. Thanks for playing. You're going to get the tickets to the Blues on the Fox Festival in River Edge Park. Hopefully you don't have to work. Thanks, Chris, for playing. And thank you, Claire Zolke, Amy Sumter, for playing this week's
Thanks,
The Worst.
Justin.
And we'll have you guys back
Thanks,
this
Pete.
Summer. Well, that's going to do it tonight here on The Download. Thanks for listening. The show will be back tomorrow. I will be out tomorrow night. Mike Steven is in my stead. I am happy because I love Mike. And I think it'll be a good show. I'll be back on Thursday. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.